on your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock. Iran has told the Trump administration the Gulf region will become hell for the US in an apparent response to a new ultimatum from Donald Trump. State media in Tehran has been carrying comments warning against any expansion of aggression. They've come after Donald Trump said the Islamic Republic had 48 hours to either do a deal on peace or the reopening of the Strait of Hormuz. He says Iran will see all hell rain down if it doesn't act. Alex MacDonald from the Middle East Eye has been telling LBC. The war has already begun to change.
The US and the Israelis are already attacking civilian infrastructure, so they've abandoned their original claims that they were simply trying to do a kind of quick targeted strike of senior military and political figures. They are now severely damaging, you know, long-term civilian infrastructure, which even a post-Islamic Republic regime would need, you know, use of.
State media in Iran has also said five people died following an airstrike on a petrochemical hub. It says it happened in the southwest of the country and 170 were injured. Israel has announced it targeted Tehran's money machine on Saturday. Three people have appeared in court charged over an alleged arson attack on four Jewish community ambulances in North London. They went before Westminster magistrates, as LBC's Joseph Draper now reports.
Hamza Iqbal, 20, and a 19-year-old college student, Rehan Khan, both British nationals from Leighton, were remanded into custody, and a 17-year-old boy, a dual British and Pakistani national from Walthamstow, was also remanded into youth detention. None of them entered a plea. Dramatically, a fourth person, we're told, was actually arrested at the court earlier on Saturday morning.
It's been reported Barclays Bank is planning to open new branches and bring back bank managers. Its CEO has told a newspaper he doesn't want customers to get stuck with chatbots when they need help. And Cambridge have won the men's boat race for a fourth year in a row. Oxford won the women's race after 8 years of defeats. LBC weather, wet and windy across northern, central and eastern parts overnight because of Storm Dave. Snow for parts of northwestern Scotland with a low of around 4. Storm Dave will gradually clear the UK during Easter Sunday. It will leave sunshine and showers behind it, with the worst of those showers being in northern areas. We'll see a high tomorrow of 13 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
This guy is sick. There's something wrong with this guy.
Well, let's get back to it.
Right, hands up who cares about the boat race. Now hands up who does not care about the boat race. Overwhelming. How is that still a thing? Messages from yesterday. John says, it's simple. This was in reference to why is our electricity priced at a very high rate, because it's priced according to how much it costs to produce electricity by using gas. Did you follow that?
No.
John says, it's simple. Oh, well, thank goodness you've written. He says, gas is almost always the marginal clearance price. It's private market players who decide, and marginal pricing is how it's done. Well, that certainly clears it up, doesn't it?
No.
It's simple. Yeah, anytime somebody says, it's simple...
Warning, warning!
What follows isn't. That makes absolutely no sense. You're using the same phraseology that we were using to pose the question in the first place. Donald says, keeping up appearances had just one writer. Are you trying to tell us that you didn't belly laugh throughout that program? Yes, I am telling you that I did not belly laugh throughout that program, keeping up appearances. I think I maybe saw half of one episode once. He said, how many more writers will be required to make Mrs. Brown's boys funny? Well, I don't know. Let's ask a comedy expert.
$8,737,540,000.
I tried to cut the dollars off at the end there, but... to make it make sense. Yeah, about 8 billion more writers are needed to make Mrs. Brown's boys funny, but I'm not really an expert on that either, because I've never seen a whole one of those shows. I've heard enough about them to make a point of swerving it every time it's on TV. I can't believe that's a thing either. Kim says, How on earth are you getting away with this show? They may as well call it the Trump Derangement Syndrome show. You talk of nothing else. Callers vetted too. You're obsessed, says Kim. One of these, well, we'll stop picking on him. Kind of person who, during the COVID period, would have rang in and said, oh, leave him alone. He's doing his best.
Yeah. Where
about Mr. Blobby. Kim, the only people with Trump Derangement Syndrome are his cult fans like you. Do you get the news where you live? It's all about Donald Trump. Have you seen the price of petrol? That's him, that is. And that's about to get much, much worse. We ain't seen nothing yet, like Bankman Turner Overdrive.
Rock and roll!
No, we really haven't. It hasn't affected us yet. And already the prices are through the roof. You just wait. I think it's in about a month's time, the last of our scheduled or scheduled? I can never remember which is which. Last of our scheduled boats arrive with, some hot, delicious gas and oil to squirt it up the country. And after that, then we're in big trouble, huge. It's already started. The big trouble, huge part has already started in Asia. Because I think their last shipment arrived a couple of days ago. And they're knocking off work early. They're leaving the car at home. They're eating uncooked food, that sort of thing. These are forthcoming attractions. Josie in East London, these are messages from last night. Josie in East London says, if you're not suffering from Trump derangement syndrome these days, you're either insane or on the payroll. Ha, huh, I can't believe those two came in side by side. Do you hear that, Kim? You're either insane or on the payroll. Which is it? Is it that or this? Pete says, a reminder about Bruce Springsteen. Yeah, I had a Bruce Springsteen story last night. I didn't get around to it. Very, very bad at my job. This text says, are you still talking about Bruce Springsteen? No, we're still talking about Jeffrey Epstein.
Are you still talking about Jeffrey Epstein?
Yeah, we are. And Tom says, don't forget about Bruce Springsteen. Yeah, all right then. Bruce Springsteen. The boss. So at 7:58 in the morning, Donald Trump woke up grumpy and posted the following about Bruce Springsteen. Because, there's a war on and petrol prices are through the roof and inflation is about to skyrocket and millions of Americans are wary or reluctant or just flat out won't call an ambulance, even if they're dying because it costs $1,000 just to get into the hospital. Never mind about what the hospital bill is going to be. But, never mind about all of that. He wants to have a swing at Bruce Springsteen. This is Donald Trump. 7:58 a.m. Bad and very boring singer Bruce Springsteen, who looks like a dried-up prune who has suffered greatly from the work of a really bad plastic surgeon, has long had a horrible and incurable case of Trump derangement syndrome, sometimes referred to as TDS. The President of the United States of America. The guy is a total loser who spews hate against a president who won a landslide election, including the popular vote, all seven swing states, and 86% of the counties across America. Oh, my God. Have you ever in your entire life come across anybody who boasts more than this guy? He's like 5 years old. Under Sleepy Joe and the Dems, our country was dead, and now we have the hottest country by far. Anywhere in the world. MAGA should boycott his overpriced concerts, which suck. Save your hard-earned money. America is back. President DJT. I mean, it's got to the point where you just can't say, oh, that's just Donald Trump anymore, is it? I mean, is any of that presidential?
I can be more presidential than anybody.
No, yeah, than anybody, yeah. I mean, at this point, you think that there should at least be a van parked outside and men in white coats ready to, spring a surprise. Because this is about Bruce Springsteen addressing the Trump administration in Minneapolis on doing one of his concerts that suck, saying America is currently in the hands of a corrupt, incompetent, racist, reckless, and treasonous administration. Yeah, correctamundo.
Don't be rude.
So, a bad and very boring singer, Bruce Springsteen, who looks like a dried-up prune, who has suffered greatly from the work of a really bad plastic surgeon, has long had a horrible and incurable case of Trump derangement syndrome, sometimes referred to as TDS. That's all one sentence. The guy is a total loser who spews hate against the president who won a landslide election, including the popular vote, all seven swing states, 86% of the counties across America. Under Sleepy Joe and the Dems, our country was dead, and now we have the hottest country by far anywhere in the world. And then it's all in capitals, like he's yelling at us. MAGA should boycott his overpriced concerts, which suck. Save your hard-earned money. America is back. President DJT. Or bad and very boorish TV game show host Donald Trump, who looks like half a mango was left out of the fridge for 2 weeks, and who has suffered greatly from the work of a really bad toupee maker, has long had a horrible and incurable case of Trump derangement syndrome, sometimes referred to as Trump's mental incapacity condition. The guy is a total loser who spews hate against anyone who doesn't keep up a constant flow of flattery like he's a grumpy toddler. A grumpy toddler who keeps going on about the election landslide as though it wasn't one of the closest run elections in the history of America, which is doing very badly under his inept leadership. Everyone should boycott anything MAGA or that advertises at any event that he speaks at or fundraiser for him, and also his cronies. Save your hard-earned money. Turn your back on America. And all he heard was toupee.
I don't wear a toupee.
Yeah, by the way, Trump lost the popular vote to become the president the first time round. Got fewer votes than Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton got more votes than he did. And the margin in the last election was 1.5 percentage points. That was the amount that he beat Kamala Harris by. 1.5 percentage points. Not a landslide. So there's your Bruce Springsteen story. West London. Grace.
Hi. Grace. Yeah, I was thinking that Trump should probably not invoke criticism of people's appearances. But I was particularly bothered this week by some of the even more extreme blasphemy and misappropriation of Christianity coming out of his mouth. Mm-hmm. He apparently, in reference to the No Kings protests, which have been going on in America, whereby people have been objecting to how he's behaving like a dictatorial monarch, he said, given it's just been Palm Sunday, that Jesus was referred to as a king when people welcomed him on Palm Sunday, and now people call Donald Trump king.
They also call him Jesus.
I am just so... It's funny on the one hand, but it's horrifying on the other hand. And for people like... Did you say Hegseth said that God is on Trump's side?
Yeah.
And yesterday I heard one of Trump's pastors saying that Trump had a spiritual imperative to bomb Iran. Now, if God was on Trump's side, or rather if Trump was trying to be on God's side, then Trump wouldn't have forced countless people into starvation.
Well, if God was on Donald Trump's side, he would have won that war already, instead of being forced to undoubtedly flee in ignominy.
I mean, what Trump, just the way that he talks, but also so many of his policies in hurting some of the most disadvantaged people in our world, are completely antithetical to what Jesus taught. But also, Jesus wasn't about sides in the way that Trump wants to think. It is very childlike. When Jesus came and died at Easter, the point was that we've all sinned and we all need to be repented. But Trump is so arrogant, he thinks that he is high above everyone else, and he's got no need to be humble or to confess anything he's done wrong. He just thinks that God loves him.
Humble and Trump are two words that do not belong in the same sentence.
I'm president! Can you believe it?
Yeah, no, we're still stunned, Donnie. All right, thanks a lot, Grace. Yeah, but do remember...
You know, nobody has done more for Christianity. Nobody has done more for religion of all type than me.
LBC.
Interactive Investor would like to say welcome and thank you. Welcome to all our new investors who joined us over the past few months. And thank you to a certain competitor that decided to change their fee structure and sent them all our way. Visit Interactive Investor to see what you could save with our low flat fee. Interactive Investor. I think, therefore I. Remember, when investing, your capital is at risk.
Are chocolate eggs truly bound to round? No. Waitrose have unveiled a rich number one Ruby Fruits flat egg, sprinkled with dried berries, a tangy marvel in confectionery, and the number one blonde chocolate almond croissant egg, topped with milk chocolate and crunchy roasted almonds. Chocolate eggs are only the beginning. Indulge in a range of Easter treats at Waitrose, the home of food lovers. Selected stores subject to availability. Prices may vary in Channel Islands, Little Waitrose and Partners and Concessions.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
Hello, boys.
Pete Hegseth, the US Defense Secretary, asked the American people to pray every day on bended knee for a military victory in the Middle East in the name of Jesus Christ. Because God usually gets involved in wars and always picks sides. Pope Leo XIV, the first US-born pontiff, has a different take on what should be done in Jesus' name. During a mass on Thursday, the Pope said that the Christian mission has often been distorted by a desire for domination entirely foreign to the way of Jesus Christ. But, you know, he's just the Pope. What does he know about religion compared to the man who knows more about religion than anybody? Since the United States and Israel began bombing Iran in late February, the Pope has consistently called for an end to the violence and a return to dialogue to resolve the conflict, just as you would expect the Pope to do. Without naming Pete Hegseth, he has also pointed out the ways in which Christianity has been marshalled for purposes that the Pope says do not align with Catholic teaching. Yeah, no, it aligns with the phony religionists who use their pretend faith as a weapon. The actual Pope said, "We tend to consider ourselves powerful when we dominate, victorious when we destroy our equals, great when we are feared." He said, "God has given us an example, not of how to dominate, but of how to liberate, not of how to destroy life, but how to give it. And if God ever came back to walk among us, he'd be slammed to the ground by Trump's ICE goons, called a woke liberal enemy of the people, and be the first prisoner in the new Alcatraz." He's actually going to bring Alcatraz back. Can you believe that?
No.
No, amazing. I don't know whether that's just one of those things that he chucks in the news to, you know, scramble people's brains. To make us stop talking about you-know-who.
Are you still talking about Jeffrey Epstein?
Yeah, he's got that one up his sleeve. Alcatraz. Yeah, good one, Donnie. Funny. In late March, the Pope warned against invoking the name of Jesus for battle, saying that Jesus does not listen to the prayers of those who wage war, but rejects them. And all those phonies with a cross around their neck who spout on about Jesus are in for a big shock, huge, when the time comes for them to queue to get into the heaven club. Because their name is not on the list, and they're not getting in.
Oh, shut up!
The Pope said, "I'm told that President Trump recently stated that he would like to end the war." The Pope said, outside his country residence, outside Rome, "Hopefully he's looking for a way to decrease the amount of violence and of bombing." That's what the Pope said. But bombing is fun, isn't it, Donnie?
You have to see it. It's very cool. Missiles launched, missiles launched, missiles launching. They're launching. Okay, we're ready. Fire, 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 boom, fire, boom. Genius. It's like unbelievable.
I didn't tape that. I didn't edit that at all. He actually said those words in that order. The most powerful man in the world. Would you like any further information?
No.
I think there's increasing evidence that aliens are among us. And if so, I think that now's the time to step in. Can you please do something? Because we humans seem incapable. You know, we're busy. Got a lot of things on our minds. If you could just do something, that'd be great. Just, you know, give us a sign. Anything will do. Stephen says, "Have you ever had double yolkers fresh from a farm? Amazing poached, fantastic egg on toast. Better than anything from money-grabbing supermarkets." Stephen, where do you think supermarkets get eggs? They come from farms, I think. Mostly. Dave says, "Why do so many people in the UK despise education? Do they equate education with Jacob Rees-Mogg or or something?" No, he doesn't know anything.
You're better informed than I am. I don't know anything.
He doesn't know anything.
I don't know anything.
Not one single thing.
I don't know anything.
Yeah, it's got nothing to do with education. He don't know nothing.
I don't know anything.
Doesn't know anything. don't you understand? Still not missing you, Smug, wherever you are. In case you were wondering. Wigan. Hello, Margaret.
Hello. How are you doing, mate?
I'm great, mate.
Thank you. I've just read recently about this World Cup and what America's doing, well, probably Trump. Apparently he's blocked 40 countries from going, who refuses them visas, four of which have qualified. And there's also, he's restricted 75 countries by they have to pay a bond or a visa of $1,500 per person.
I thought it was 15,000, isn't it?
15,000, sorry, right. Yeah. I mean, it's just going to be so unfair, isn't it? It's virtually picking who can go and who can't. Countries like Brazil and Egypt and Morocco are in this where they have to pay $15,000. It's just unfair, isn't it?
If it wasn't so serious, I wouldn't care anything about it. But, you know, it's football. It's the World Blooming Cup, for crying out loud. And as it approaches, people will start to talk about that year again, Margaret, won't they? They'll start to talk about 1966 over and over and over again. And as soon as we don't get beaten in a game, they'll be saying, oh, it's coming home. So we got all that to suffer through, but at least we won't be able to suffer through it in person, Margaret, because our name is not on the list, and we're not getting in.
Do you not like football?
No, I do like it. That's what I'm saying. I'm looking forward to it tremendously. If it wasn't so important, then I couldn't care less, but it is, so I do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't like football really in general because I think it's a bit boring, but I do like the World Cup where countries are competing. You know, I like that.
Yeah, it's like the javelin. Would you cross the road to see a javelin contest?
No.
But if it was on the Olympics, you'd be watching it, wouldn't you? You'd be wrapped. Of course.
I just feel it's just ruining the whole.
World.
I know he's doing worse things, like
everything.
Unbelievable things. Yeah. But I thought this is like on top of everything else.
Yeah. Now he's gone too far. Yeah, he's messing with the beautiful game. Yeah.
Oh, God.
All right. OK, well, thanks a lot, Margaret. I think there's going to be a lot of empty seats in stands. When it comes towards the kickoff, literally and figuratively, then they're going to start a bit of a panic because the cameras are going to show so many empty seats. And so they're going to start giving tickets away. I betcha. They'll start giving them away to MAGA hat-wearing, dribbling morons. Those people. And then they'll try and fill them up with, I don't know, whichever army reserves aren't currently being shot at in Iran. They're going to have to fill them in some way, because otherwise it's just going to be too embarrassing. It'll make Donald Trump look like a failure. And he hates that more than anything else in the whole wide world. Well, apart from receiving an insufficient amount of flattery on any given day, he hates that more. And not making at least $400 million a year.
I make $400 million a year, so what difference does it make?
Yeah, I didn't believe you when you said that, Donnie, but I do believe you now. And some. 0345-6060-973. Martin says, why does the news keep saying that the trip to the moon is for the first time in 50 years? They're flying around it. It's like saying I'm going to London and just driving around the M25. Good point, Martin. What are they going for? I mean, what is the point? And it seems a bit ramshackle, doesn't it? I mean, I haven't been studying it very closely, but the boat that they're on and all the equipment and the difficulty that they had right off the bat and the quality of the images that are coming back, it seems a bit, I don't know, old. It seems a bit sort of cobbled together. Maybe that's just what the inside of a spaceship looks like, cobbled together. But isn't it remarkable that all those years ago, so we're led to believe, in a spaceship made of aluminium foil and plywood, they managed to land a man on the moon. Two, in fact. With a car. You believe that? Well, a lot of people don't. And as time goes on, I'm thinking, well, you know, maybe they're not completely crazy. Not totally insane, Carol.
Yeah.
I do a podcast with Carol McGiffin, by the way, and we don't agree on anything at all. Like, nothing at all. And so I devised a wizard scheme by which we yell out a safe space word if either of us says something that the other is going to pick a, you know, start a fight. And my word is dingleberries, which is a fruit. Look it up. And hers is sausages. And when we yell that out, then we have to talk about something else, a prearranged topic immediately. Otherwise, we're going to fall out big time. Other than that, we get along like a house on fire, and we laugh through a podcast twice a week, which is called What's Your Problem with Nick and Carol? Now, very badly on our part, we did take a five-week break at the beginning of this year.
What?
Yeah, 5 weeks. But we're back now. We're back! And adding to the 300-plus episodes that are available on the World Wide Web right now, the podcast is called What's Your Problem with Nick and Carol?
Oh, right, yeah.
Now, if you want us to have a bash at your issue, then you simply must send it to the following address, nickandcarol@global.com, nickandcarol@global.com, and prepare to be totally satisfied.
Oh, right, yeah.
Ask for it by name on an internet near you. What's your problem with Nick and Carol? Summerset. Hello, John.
Well, hello, Nick. How are you?
I am super. Thanks for asking.
You're sounding almost cosmic this evening, actually.
Wow. I'm sounding lunar.
Luna, yeah. I've got a friend whose daughter's called Luna, something, isn't
it? Luna, 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 Luna. Name that song.
Luna, 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 Luna.
Luna, 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 Luna. Those who know, know.
Oh, my friend will be listening to this tonight. Yeah. He'll be chuffed. You've just primed me like a rocket earlier, by the way, in the last 5 minutes. You couldn't possibly have known that I was going to talk about my scepticism about the moon landing in 1961.
Right. Well, my scepticism is peaked for the first time in my life just by dint of seeing how ramshackle the current effort appears. Because if it's that bad now, I mean, that's sort of unslick, and it looks like it's been cobbled together by a bunch of 12-year-olds. Then can you imagine what it must have been like all those years ago? I mean, it seems hard to believe that they managed to go all the way there and then come all the way back. And the latest effort almost failed right off the bat.
But the other thing is, the journalists that cover it are all so happy-clappy about it.
Yeah, bursting into tears, one of them.
Yeah, the BBC correspondent, science correspondent, I don't know her name, but I saw a clip the other day when the rocket was launching behind her, about 200 metres or, I don't know, 400 metres away from her.
Mm.
It was spectacular.
Yeah.
And she kept looking towards us, so mm-hmm. she broke the fourth wall or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
And she's going, it's tremendous, and I kept saying, it's behind you.
Is that the one that burst into tears?
She was, yeah.
Yeah.
She was very emotional. But also, I watched on YouTube this evening, so it must be true, but it was straight off the news. My partner was in the background watching it as well.
Hmm.
And there was this clip where they were getting interviewed from, you know, halfway to the moon, and they're all crammed together.
Yeah.
Which I find really strange.
Odd.
Because I know they've spent a lot of money on it, but they've spent 25 years or whatever preparing it.
Mm.
And you think, well, why didn't they make the pod twice as big?
Yeah, yes.
We save some privacy.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like there's any drag up there. They don't need fatter tyres. Yeah, there's no atmosphere up there. Doesn't matter how big it is.
Exactly. And then you wonder if something goes terribly wrong and they have to, like, you know, use the escape pod and blow it out of space, out of the airlock, they're already in it, all together.
Yeah. There ain't no space pod. That is the space pod. Yeah.
There's no short straws to see who can escape. But also, they were on about the toilet not working.
Oh, lovely.
Did you hear that?
No.
I'm not making this up, right? So apparently there was a problem with the chemical toilet or whatever.
Yeah.
And there's one on board called Christina, And what,
that,
she was
is that the name? Is that the name of the toilet?
No, that's the name of the female astronaut.
Right.
And she said, "Oh, the guys on here are calling me the space plumber because I've sorted it out."
Oh.
And I'm thinking, oh my God, this is ridiculous. And one of the other guys said, oh yeah, well, we first noticed the odour the first time Christina fired the toilet up.
Oh, God. Fired it up. Was it like steam engine they've got on there? Fired it up.
She fired it up. She cranked up the chemical toilet.
Yeah.
And you wonder where all that waste is going because it's
like,
going to drop
right
somewhere.
Out the porthole. Well, that's a very unsavoury thought. You've really brought this show down into the gutter. Thanks a lot, John. Gotta go. All right, cheers, mate. It does remind me, though, that there is one of the greatest clips of all time, and I think the guy's name is Michael Burke. He used to be a feature on 1970s television, and I can't remember which rocket launch it was, but it's probably a clip that is still available on the World Wide Web. Look it up. It's amazing. He does this piece to camera, Michael Burke, and he's walking along and he says, you know, when somebody strikes a match and they throw it into the rocket engine, this happens. And then over his shoulder, at that precise second, the rocket takes off. I mean, it's like a one-shot wonder, and you only get one shot forever. And he absolutely nailed it. It was perfect. It's one of the great television moments of all time. Look it up, and you can thank me later. No, wait. I've changed my mind. You can thank me now.
Thank you.
It's just past 10:30 on LBC, the news headlines with Tim Daly.
Iran has told the Trump administration the Gulf region will become hell for the US in an apparent response to a new ultimatum from Donald Trump. State media in Tehran has been carrying comments warning against any expansion of aggression. Elsewhere, state media in Iran says five people have died following an airstrike on a petrochemical hub. It says it happened in the southwest of the country and 170 were injured. And the new Archbishop of Canterbury is to use her first Easter sermon to call for peace in the Middle East with renewed urgency. Dame Sarah Mullally will pray for an end to the violence and destruction in the region during her sermon at Canterbury Cathedral tomorrow. LBC weather, wet and windy across northern, central and eastern areas overnight because of Storm Dave. Snow for parts of northwestern Scotland with a low of around 4 degrees.
This is LBC.
Irrational is a printer that's next to your laptop, but somehow offline. Smart is a printer with self-healing Wi-Fi that helps keep you connected. Stressful is your printer choosing check-in day to check out of ink. Smart is an HP Smart Tank with 3 years of cartridge-free ink. Oh, that's smart. So go on, search HP Smart Tank. Find the last printer you'll ever need.
Cancer doesn't care about childhood. It doesn't care what they miss out on or how much you want to protect them. But we do. At Great Ormond Street Hospital Charity, we fund life-saving research, vital family support, and the special things that help seriously ill kids be kids. Until no childhood is lost to cancer. Join us. Search GOSH Charity.
The weather's warmer, the days are longer, and the savings are even better in the Hillary Spring Sale. Right now, there's up to 40% off hundreds of made-to-measure styles. Plus, get an extra 10% off everything in our flash event, including our total blackout blinds for complete darkness and a good night's sleep. And don't forget, with Hillary's, measuring and fitting is always included. So get window wise and book your free in-home appointment today at hillarys.co.uk. But hurry, an extra 10% off everything ends the 13th of April. Conditions apply.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
I just want to tell you all how happy I am to be back in the studio making a picture again.
It's a radio show, dear. Kiri in Somerset says, my 14-year-old daughter is called Artemis Moon. Who are you married to? Frank Zappa. My 14-year-old daughter is called Artemis Moon. I figured she would be super excited for this whole NASA situation, but she gave me the most deadpan, unenthusiastic, wow, when I told her. Well, she's 14 years old. I mean, you know, if it's not got a screen and a Wi-Fi connection, not remotely interested, I bet.
Boring!
Jennifer says the moon would be a terrible place to live. Moon dust is full of tiny pieces of glass. Trying to clean a spacecraft from it's a nightmare. I speak as someone with an astrophysics degree who does homework. Oh, housework, rather. Not homework. Housework. Right. What, for a living? Do you really need an astrophysics degree to do housework for a living? Seems a bit over the top. Maidenhead. Hello, Gary.
Oh, hello, Nick.
Gary.
As you mentioned the old, the moon landing, I was a 10-year-old lad when that was going on.
Yeah.
And my mate that lived in the same road, his dad, he worked at Pinewood Studios. And he said, that looks like a film set to me. Them pictures are not real. So that says something, doesn't it?
Well, it says exactly what you just said. Other than that, it doesn't really say anything further than that. That, yeah, I mean, I always dismissed all of that up until the moment when I saw the inside of the current space rocket. And they had a difficulty with, you know, some alarm went off.
Warning, warning.
That they were losing pressure or something like that. And I thought, that seems a bit, I don't know, it seems a bit like they've stuck it together with chewing gum and spit.
Well, that's why that film with Capricorn 1 was made, wasn't it, 3 years
yes,
later?
Yes, right, yeah.
But, you know, if they did go to the moon and the technology was proven, then surely you would just build the same sort of rocket because it's already been there and landed.
Well, that's like saying that you wouldn't build a car that had developed beyond a Hillman Imp because it could get you from A to B right enough, so why progress any further?
That's right, yeah. But the other thing I was going to say is that I was speaking to a tanker driver today. I think I had a word with Clive about it a couple of weeks ago. But you know that we're pumping oil from Dorset?
Are we?
Yeah, there's one of them nodding pumps.
Oh, right.
It's been going since the early 60s.
That's
apparently
it.
There's a load of oil under the Isle of Wight. But this tanker driver was saying, yeah, that pump is, it's still pumping.
Mm.
It's pumped to a refinery in Southampton, and then it's exported.
Yeah.
It's not even coming here.
Right, well, that's the same with the North Sea oil. None of that stuff's ours.
It's crazy, and like you predicted, I mean, over in this area, it's $1.98 for diesel.
Wow, $1.98, God.
And I think it's going to probably run out, but I haven't seen any caravans this Easter, so I think people are staying, but I think we're, you know, give it another month, and...
that's what they say, give it another month, and we're in big trouble, huge. Oh. I mean, we're sort of just, wandering along without a care in the world, thinking, well, this isn't so bad, but it's not hit us yet, because we've still got everything that we ordered before this happened that is arriving on boats, I think for at least another month, I think. After which, then, we'll find out when we get there, though. Isn't it exciting?
Well, this is why I'm saying, why don't Starmer bring in some emergency powers? If that oil that's actually on our land, if that is going to export, then surely you should turn around and say, look, we need that oil right now.
Right. Well, not one of those nodding things in Dorset ain't going to make no difference one way or the other. It wouldn't give, Keir Starmer enough oil to put in his hair.
You don't need to put all of that product in your hair. You just don't.
You just don't. I mean, that's just nothing, that is. So, if we'd done a Norway and kept all of our oil for ourselves instead of having Margaret Blummin' Thatcher give it all away to the world's biggest fossil fuel giants, then we'd be in a completely different position. We'd be more Norway. And they're made of money, they are.
Well, I think that it's time for them to bring the steam trains back because there won't be no diesel for the... I think they better get the Flying Scotsman ready.
Yeah, we need more of that clean coal.
Yeah. Well, I bet the technology is there now to make coal clean.
Oh, come off it, Gary. Have you ever picked up a piece of coal?
Yeah, but the technology... If they did go to the moon and back, surely we can clean coal up.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll see you at Tut Pit with a rag, and we'll see how we go. All right, thanks a lot, Gary. No, this is all going to push us towards clean energy. And, you know, with a few things that Donald Trump has done in the worst possible way, it might actually work out beneficial in the long run if he just pushes all of us and really concentrates our minds and gets us off fossil fuels entirely. Because if we weren't dependent on fossil fuels, we wouldn't care less about what's happening in the Strait of Hormuz, would we? Wouldn't be remotely interested. It would be an "and finally" story on the news instead of... I mean, imagine how marvellous it would be if we got all of our power from the sun and the wind and the waves. Because at least one of them is always going to be there 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. And all we need is the battery technology to catch up a little bit, and we'll be able to store anything that we make during the daytime, for instance, with solar power, and we'll be able to use it at night. We'll be able to... I mean, it doesn't seem beyond the realms of possibility that we'll be able to store it like a whole year's worth. Everything on Earth has grown because of the sun. How can we not make it take our car to Tesco's and back? So we're just at the foothills of the... of this new industrial revolution, a revolution in the production of power, and this thing that Trump is, this excursion that he's gone on, it might just propel us to actually stop listening to, you know, the oily charlatans in Union Jack socks who are working for the fossil fuel giants by telling us that what we really need is more oil. Pay no attention to any of those people. They're not our friends. They're not working for us. They're working for their billionaire mates who fund their party. They do not have our best interests at heart. None of those people do. The sun is what we should be concentrating on. The wind. I don't know that we have much in the way of wave power. But I bet if I looked it up, I bet today that most of our energy would have come from the sun and the wind. Most of it. Almost nothing at all from coal, very little from gas, and those people, and hardly anything from oil. And those people, the oily charlatans and the Union Jack socks, they want us to continue to be dependent on the most unstable places in the world that coincidentally have the vast lakes of oil under their feet. Now, it's not a coincidence that they're unstable. I think they're made unstable because of the fact that they've got all that oil under them. Because if they didn't, then we wouldn't... They'd be selling dates for a living, and we wouldn't care. But because they've got all of that money, it's like a load on their backs. This text says, isn't it amazing that we tolerate worldwide financial chaos, death and war for the sake of keeping one solitary orange vomit out of prison? And a solitary orange vomit, Donnie.
Don't talk to me that way. I'm the president of the United States. Don't ever talk to the president that way.
Ever talk to the president that way. Tywin, Martin.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, I just want to say we're suffering Storm David now. You said last night, Dave. It should be Dave. Called David.
Yeah, it should be David. Doesn't that sound weird? They've called it Dave.
I know. Like, without given
the ID. Given it a nickname.
It's absolutely horrendous in North Wales.
Is
the
it?
Minute.
Right.
Yes. Anyway, going on to the point of travelling to the moon.
Mm.
So I'm 62 now. My mum was trying to start a Ford Anglia with a crankshaft.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I know. So, and at this point now, Apollo takes off, brakes all the little bits off, flies around the moon,
yeah,
and drops the pod thing onto the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be rude, that's my impression of Donald Trump. And he drops on the moon, and then they go round for a little walk, and then the other thing comes up, connects to the next bit, comes back for 11 days, and then you get James Baxter. I remember him well.
Oh, yeah, James Baxter, yeah.
James Baxter. James, it wasn't... I'm getting Raymond Baxter mixed up with the other one. James, whatever. Anyway, and then you see these three parachutes drops into the sea.
Yeah.
Oh, what a surprise. The boat's there within about 100 metres. I mean,
is that,
seriously.
Is that actually what happened? I'm not... I was quite young at the time, so I'm not entirely sure that that's precisely the timeline... But it was there or thereabouts, and that, well, that, you painted that picture like an expert, Martin. I could see it unfold before my eyes.
You know the text you read out earlier on about me talking about going around the moon. We've landed on the moon, and it's like they're going around the M25. That was me.
Oh, that was you. Oh well, well done, that man.
Oh, it was a good one. But I'm not going to say we didn't go back, but. We're going 50 years now, and we can't seem to do it again.
I don't know why they're testing it out. I mean, why don't they just go there if it's... I don't really get anything about it. I mean, what are they going to find that they didn't find before? There's nothing up there. It's just a bunch of dust.
Exactly. Can I say one thing to you, Nick?
Yes, you can.
And get someone else back on the phone.
Yeah.
I've not mentioned the word Sopranos.
Well, I appreciate that.
You.
Yeah, he hasn't mentioned the word Sopranos.
Absolutely.
Yeah, good. Thanks a lot, Martin. Mel in Torquay says, Artemis is not exciting. I totally agree we should fix all of the problems here first. While there are still people starving on Earth, we shouldn't be blowing billions on travelling to space. It's just wrong and just a rich man's game. All of those top tech geezers are the only ones who will benefit and make shed loads of money from space. Well, I don't know whether that is true or not, Mel, but I do believe that what you say is 100% correct. Yeah, we ain't going to get no money from whatever they find up there. Believe it. They're going to keep it all. There's a film which you should watch, because, if you don't watch it, that's okay, because you're living it. But it's called Don't Look Up. And it talks about kind of that sort of thing, about, farming... extraterrestrial bodies for their constituent minerals. Billions and billions and trillions of dollars. It's all up there, and they're gonna get it regardless of what the consequences are. Because if there's one thing that we know about the super rich is that no amount of money seems to be sufficient. I don't really get it myself. I mean, if I was worth $200,000 million. Then I wouldn't spend all day trying to make more of it. Every now and again, I pull up hang on a minute. One moment, please. The billionaires index. Hang on. You see if I won't do that. Bloomberg billionaires index. Here we go. Now we're getting somewhere. Right. This is what the richest people in the world made yesterday. Okay. Well, this is the year to date. Elon Musk made £16,000 million in the year to date. £16,000 million. Elon Musk is now worth $336,000 million. I said pounds, didn't I? This is all in dollars. Not that it really makes never mind. Like, what difference does it make? Larry Ellison, out of computing. I can't remember what he did. Yesterday, he made $630 million. Yesterday. And you wonder why you feel poor. It's because these people have got all the money. I mean, they don't magic out of thin air, you know. I mean, I could go down the list, but it starts to get a bit depressing. Jim Walton, the supermarket people. I think they own a big chunk of one of our supermarkets. Yesterday made $1,000 million. Yesterday. It's actually $1.43 billion. That's $1,430 million. Yesterday. But, you know, the most important thing in the world is some hooligans in balaclavas strip some food off M&S shelves. Yeah, let's concentrate on that. 0345-6060-973, Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10, and Monday this week, Nick Abbott, LBC.
LBC. Last week on Nick Ferrari at Breakfast.
This outspoken man is returning. I speak of the former now suspended Labour MP Carl Turner.
What do you see as your political future?
I want to be back in the Labour fold, but I'm not going to kowtow out, and I'm not going to start doing as I'm told on juries because it's the worst idea.
Chief Executive Officer at NHS England, Sir Jim Mackey.
In every area, we've got enough to get through for a reasonable period.
What's a reasonable period?
So generally a few weeks.
Defence Secretary John Healey. How many frigates do we have in the fleet?
We have 17 frigates and destroyers.
Nick Ferrari at Breakfast. Back Tuesday morning from 7. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
Buying a home on a holiday park was the retreat you always wanted. But then came unexpected site fee increases. And that was before the dramatic loss in value. If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, you may have been missold. Holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive thousands in compensation. Text ASSIST to 78900. That's ASSIST to 78900.
When we think of Easter, why do our brains go straight to eggs wrapped in foil and not lamb joints resting in foil? Think outside the chalky egg box and enjoy a third off delicious British lamb joints. Cook them low and slow until tender enough to carve with a spoon or roast with a rosemary and lemon thyme infusion. Chocolate eggs are only the beginning.
Save a third on all British lamb roasting joints at Waitrose, the home of food lovers.
Selected items stores subject to availability. Prices may vary in Channel Islands. Little Waitrose and Partners at concessions offer in 6th of April.
The weather's warmer, the days are longer, and the savings are even better in the Hillary's Spring Sale. Right now, there's up to 40% off hundreds of made-to-measure styles. Plus, get an extra 10% off everything in our flash event, including our total blackout blinds for complete darkness and a good night's sleep. And don't forget, with Hillary's, measuring and fitting is always included. So get window wise and book your free in-home appointment today at hillarys.co.uk. But hurry, an extra 10% off everything ends the 13th of April. Conditions apply.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Whole world's gone crazy.
Yes, this text says, it is clear that you and me share similar views, although you seem to harbour more pessimism than I. I am optimistic that Trump had to happen in order to expose why Trump cannot happen again. Trump will happen again. I mean, it will look different. It'll probably have some weird hair thing because, people of that nature, dictatorial types, they've always got some weird thing with their hair or a stupid moustache or some sort of standout thing that makes them, you know, stick out in a crowd. But he will happen again in some form because the stupids will always outnumber the smarts. And the stupids seem keen, eager, and determined, actually, to vote for somebody who will not act in their own interests. Ain't that right, Donnie?
I love the poorly educated.
Yeah, they keep giving and giving. Those people. 0345-6060-973. Mother Tedville. Hello, Jeff.
Nick.
Jeff.
How are you feeling, boy?
I am feeling great, mate.
Good, good, because I was worried about you last night.
Oh, yeah.
Mark, he was cruel, brutal with you.
fulminating gas bag from, where was it? Where's he from?
Bodmin,
yeah, right. I don't know. I think his Barra Brith went down the wrong way.
I was just shocked. Look, Nick, you've got to fight back. Don't be bullied.
Are you kidding me? What show are you listening to?
He demanded that he went on afterwards.
Yeah, on and on and on. Yeah.
And then he cut loose on you, kid. Oh, I thought, poor old Nick, you know.
You and I, we must be listening to different shows, Jeff, because that's not the way it went down in my mind.
No. If you want me to, I could get him banned from the Goose.
Yes, that would be super. Although, if he's in the Goose and Cuckoo, then that would be handy, as I'll always know where he is. in order to avoid him.
Right. I've been thinking about Trump.
Oh, yeah.
He is the epitome of unmitigated evil. I think, the Sopranos was a was a morality tale. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, everything that was...
I'm not sure it was a morality. You know what? I don't think it was a morality tale. But anyway, go on.
Yes, but what's your opinion? You can be bullied into anything. You
finish that sentence.
That,
you what?
Tony Soprano represents pure unmitigated power. He had the power of life and death.
No, that's not true. Because listen to me. He had power in his job, but he had zero power at home. That was the whole point of the show, that he was trying to corral his troops in his work, but he was completely unable to fix his family life.
He could whack anybody. If he said, get him whacked, he'd be whacked.
Right, and then he went home, and his wife would shout at him, and his daughter wouldn't listen to him, and his son would slam the door and walk out on him.
Is that what's happening with Trump when he walks out the office?
I don't know. Your husband is pining for you, Malaria.
I don't care.
Not that bothered.
Well, the thing is, I see him as pure evil.
Mm.
And evil has come into the world.
Yeah.
And there you go. The November elections halfway through for Congress, I don't think they're going to take place.
I've been saying this for ages, that the midterm elections aren't going to take place. He'll call a state of emergency and cancel the elections for your safety. America, none of this is normal. This is a coup. And it's so blooming obvious. I mean, he always says the quiet part out loud. He wants to be a dictator, and he's very close to doing just that.
But, you know, Steve Bannon, he's like the eminence greasy in the background. He's this evil influence on everything. And he has openly said, you can throw your toys out there. The very words he used were, you can all throw your toys out to the pram. We ain't going to have an election.
Yeah.
He's actually said that.
Right. Well, they keep saying the quiet part out loud, and people think, oh, that's just Donald Trump, or, oh, that's just Steve Bannon, you know. Oh, you know, aren't they cute? No, they're not cute. They're taking over your country. Hey, America, wake up. It's later than you think.
Well, he has also said that if we do have an election in November, we all go into jail.
Right, yes. If we lose the election, we're all going to jail. Yeah, so many of the people around Trump have said those exact words. Yeah.
Yeah. So, he's not going to do it, is he?
No.
He's going to declare a state of emergency. We prophesied this for the last 2 years.
Yeah, at the very least, he's going to put his ICE goons outside voting stations and slam random people to the ground and maybe shoot a couple of people, you know, depending on their mood. And then people in Democrat states, in Democrat voting areas, won't want to go to the polls. So either they're not going to have an election, any elections at all, or the elections have already been decided before anybody votes. Those are the only two options that are available. And America doesn't seem to be, they don't seem to have got it yet. You know, journalists in America are just, it's like they're just floating through life as though they've been hypnotized. It's time to, you know, be serious, get with it, wake up.
He has sacked the top guys in the Pentagon.
Yeah. I think it's about 24 of them have gone. Basically, anybody that knows anything has gone. What could possibly go wrong?
When he gives the order to the army, then go on the streets.
Right. Then
the generals won't be there.
They won't be there to say no. Exactly right. Yeah. Okay. All right. Got to go, Jeff. Yeah, Donald Trump has been a very naughty boy. Dear Mrs. Malaria, your Donald has been an insufferably naughty boy again. He has spent the day being rude to the teachers and all of the other children. He ruined the class's finger paint artwork. He broke the whiteboard, ate all the crayons, stole the other children's sweets, pooped his pants, and said, "I won." He is loud, uncontrollable, and makes a mess of everything he touches. Please don't send him here again. We at the leaders of the playgroup can't stand cleaning up after him anymore. Your little one is behaving like a brat, Malaria.
I don't care.
She really, really doesn't. 0345-6060-973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 11 o'clock. President Trump has claimed many of Iran's military leaders have been killed during what he's called a massive strike on Tehran. He shared a video online this evening saying they've been leading the forces of the Islamic Republic poorly and unwisely. Searches have been continuing during the day for a missing crew member from a US fighter plane shot down over Iran on Friday. The former British Army General, Lieutenant General David Leakey, has been telling LBC their fate could become significant.
Polling suggests that in some polls as high as 80% of the population are against this war. So this could make it more difficult for Donald Trump to carry on prosecuting the war in the way he is, because it will have in some way become personalised.
Two people have been arrested after a demonstration outside an American airbase in Suffolk. More than 100 joined a peace camp which had been designed to create a blockade outside RAF Lakenheath. The pair had been detained on the suspicion of obstructing a public highway. The new Archbishop of Canterbury is to use her first Easter sermon to call for peace in the Middle East with renewed urgency. Dame Sarah Mullally will pray for an end to the violence and destruction in the region during her sermon at Canterbury Cathedral tomorrow. LBC's Joe Hawkins has more.
The plea from the Archbishop will come as the US-Israeli war against Tehran enters its sixth week. Dame Sarah is expected to pray that everyone in the Middle East can get the peace, justice and freedom they long for. She will also tell the cathedral's congregation, "This week our gaze and our prayers have been turned towards the land where Jesus was crucified and raised from the dead." On top of that, Dame Sarah will pray for people dealing with personal struggles, ranging from unemployment to bereavement.
A man and woman have been arrested after the death of a teenage boy following a road collision in Bedfordshire. It happened in Flitwick late on Friday and involved a car, a bike and a scooter. The government says more than 12 million people will see their pensions rise from Monday. Payments will increase by 4.8% or £575 because of the triple lock. And in sports, the Premier League leaders Arsenal have suffered an FA Cup upset this evening. They lost 2-1 to the Championship side Southampton in their quarter-final. Earlier on, Chelsea beat Port Vale 7-0. LBC weather, wet and windy across northern, central and eastern areas overnight because of Storm Dave. Snow for parts of northwestern Scotland as well, with a low of around 4 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
Are you trying to be funny? Because I'm all out of wind.
And I can't stand him.
Are Arsenal falling apart? Right at the end of the track, they see the tape and they've just tripped over their own shoelaces? Is that what's happening? Craig in Clacton says, why did Bruce Springsteen start a war with Iran? That is a very good question. What are you doing, Bruce? Maybe the crowd is shouting boo. Bruce!
Boo!
Let's have Ipswich. Phil.
I'm disappointed, Nick.
Oh, no.
I know. Disappointed. I'm disappointed by the scepticism and lack of enthusiasm about Artemis.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm actually slightly younger than you, but I do remember Apollo 8 going round the moon, and I certainly remember Neil and Buzz on the moon. I was only six.
Now, be honest. Do you remember it from the time, or do you have you confused a memory from subsequently when you've seen it, and you thought, oh, well, I must have watched it when I was six, but you actually didn't?
Yeah. No, I actually watched it. I remember seeing James Burke. It was not Michael Burke.
James Burke, right.
James Burke, yeah, because Michael Burke is the moral mate. James Burke and Raymond Baxter and Patrick Moore. I got my eye on you. and all that.
Yes.
A little bit of Mikey Howard reference. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, I was five when Apollo 8 went around the moon, so I didn't have a lot of memory, but I do remember going around the moon. I remember saying to my parents at the time, why don't they land? And they said, well, because they're testing it. They've got to make sure it works before they do that, which is what Artemis is doing now.
Oh, come on. I mean, how much testing do they need? It's been like 50 years already. Just land.
No, but
testing.
They haven't done that before. Oh, dear. Okay. Have you heard of a physicist called Richard Feynman?
No, but then, to be honest, he's never heard of me either. Now, the testing part,
yes.
There is no testing for landing. You just got to land. You can't test a landing. You land.
But you've got to test the vehicle from which you are going to do the landing and basically do everything, do all the stuff that is less... I mean, landing on the moon is really, really dangerous and really, really hard. So you test everything other than doing that, are you going to get a leak?
Right.
Is the toilet going to work?
Well, if they are testing it, then why do they need people on board?
Well, Artemis 1 didn't have people on board for that reason,
okay.
Right? And so they tested it without people and made sure they did everything they could. And then you've actually got to get four human beings in a very small space.
Yeah.
I mean, people say, what's it like? And I can only think it must be smelly is the answer.
Because
you've got four people in a very small space, even if the toilet's working.
Yeah, no washing. Probably a lot of sweating and no washing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it must absolutely...
Honk.
It must pong in there, absolutely. But you say, why is it so small? Well, I don't know if you saw the launch, but you've got this enormous, absolutely enormous rocket chucking out so much power. There's solid rocket boosters, the main engines, the whole lot, right?
Yeah.
That's what it takes to get a small capsule with four people on. If you made the capsule bigger... You'd need a bigger rocket. I mean, every kilo on the top means, more fuel at the bottom. I mean, it's that compromise between big enough to have the
physics.
People on
just
board.
Physics. You could shorten it. It's physics.
It is physics. Yes, indeed.
What are they going to find when they get there? What is the actual point of this mission?
The point is they won't find a Chinese flag, which is coming very soon.
Yes.
Right?
That don't make no never mind, one way or the other.
It does.
It's not theirs or ours.
No, but if you're there, then you can get the minerals like tritium, which is going to be important for fusion. And if you can get water, if there is, as we believe, water at the South Pole, because the sun never shines there, then you can start to build a moon base and you can start to actually explore space.
All right, so it's going to lead to a war. Because if you're talking about getting minerals from the moon, then there must be trillions of dollars worth of minerals on the moon. And none of these greedy types who run countries is going to want to give up a single solitary penny of it. So we're going to be fighting on Earth about minerals on the moon. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Fair enough. And you said earlier on that that you and I never see will not see a single penny.
No, not a penny.
And you're absolutely right. No, we'll just go to the same people who got
Elon blooming Musk. Yeah.
Yes. and the bloke who I almost said something I shouldn't. Then. The Bezos bloke. Who
the guy who looks like an action man got left too near the fire.
Yes. Which reminds me, Bezos actually looks very much like the football guy, Sycophantini. It's very hard to tell them apart.
Right, yeah. But it looks like somebody's put a foot pump up, Fantini, and just blown him up a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. So, I showed my five-year-old granddaughter the launch of Artemis, and I said, I was your age when this happened last time.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you'll remember this. This is fantastic.
No,
this is just amazing.
It's not amazing. It's really, really boring. I mean, they throw up a rocket like every other day. I mean, we've got so many satellites. There's a rocket goes up as often as the number 24 bus comes around.
That's true. She said, it's a big firework, Granddad. I said, yeah, it's a very, very, very big firework. But I found it inspirational. I remember my mum coming saying to me, you must watch this. This is man landing on the moon.
Right.
This has never happened before. So I do remember it live when I was only six.
Yes. I mean, but the world got bored of the Apollo missions rapidly, because it was just the same thing over and over and over again. So how we can get excited about it now, I just don't know.
So I know that David Attenborough, because he was head of BBC Two at the time.
Yeah.
And he interrupted some sport thing when Apollo 12 landed, so the second landing on the
moon. It was probably snooker in black and white.
Snooker. Yes, probably snooker in black and white. It was something like that.
They used to have that, kids, snooker in black and white. And he's lining up the pink now.
That's right. So David Attenborough was head of radio, but head of BBC Two television, interrupted whatever sport thing was on, his name is snooker, to show Apollo 12 landing. And the complaints, people say, oh, you know, people are always landing on the moon. Why are you interrupting this crucial football match or some other, you know, oxymoron? So, yes, you're right. People, they get bored of it very, very quickly. But it's about beating China in the way it used to be about beating Russia.
Yeah. Getting there first is not beating anybody. Getting there and then holding on to it and getting whatever is there that's worth anything back, that's beating somebody. And you can't go up there and say, well, this bit's ours because we landed on it first. Because says who? And so we'll be blasting each other to bits on the Earth for whatever the super rich can find on the moon. Yeah, that's not Absolutely. A great prospect. I'm not very excited about it, to be honest.
Well, you had all... I mean, the whole thing itself is the product of thousands of men and women with skill and engineering doing something that I think is actually great.
Right. So you could say that it's a job creation scheme and that the super rich aren't a part of the people that are going to be working on it. No, it's true. That's what you just said, a job creation scheme. You know, all these super bright people who know physics and maths and all of that, who otherwise would be working for hedge funds.
No!
But they're actually doing something positive for humankind, or they might actually end up positively for humankind. They're not doing evil things for the banking racket. But you could say the same thing about Rolls-Royces. You know, only the super rich can buy a Rolls Royce, but ordinary everyday workers made them. So, you know, don't feel badly when one wafts by, I suppose.
I suppose so. I don't know how many nationalities are involved in building that thing, but I imagine
it's
a heck of a lot.
Six. I think it's probably six.
More like 70 or 80.
70 or 80. Or...
maybe four?
About four. Thanks a lot, Phil. 0345-6060-973. I got Meghan news. In fact, Meghan mostly, and the royal family in general news. And I want to talk about a breakfast staple and plenty else besides. So many things I didn't manage to get through to yesterday. I was up to my eyeballs in the issues. James in Queensland says, I have a potential Trump name, as you're probably aware of how godly the White House has become. The Tangerine Jesus. Cheesus. No, that's no good. Gary in Anglesey says, the government announced that they are changing legislation to enable people to buy portable solar panels up to 800 watts that simply plug into any main socket without any installation costs. Just plug in and use. They can be put in a garden, shed, roof, balcony, any outside space offering good light exposure. They feed electricity directly into your mains system when plugged in, lowering household bills. Maybe Farage will encourage people to go and get them, as they are far easier to set up than a flagpole and a Union Jack and actually serve a purpose. No, him and his type seem determined for us to turn our back on endless free energy. They want to keep us forever hooked on fossil fuels, which would benefit Vladimir Putin greatly. I don't know whether the two are connected. But, you know, Russia does keep coming up over and over and over again.
The Russians. Russia. Russia. Russia.
Nigel, one more time, just for the record, who's paying for this operation now, for all your bodyguards?
Russians.
when they tell you who they are, believe them first time. Peter says, what would Paddington have said if we hadn't deported him? Well, that's a good point. He would probably have fixed us with one of his patented stares. Hackney. Hello, Richard.
Hello, Nick.
Yes, sir.
I've got to say, my name is Richard, and I have Trump derangement syndrome.
Yes, Richard, welcome.
I just thought I would share it all with you, that the third thing I noticed is, I don't know if you've got your bingo card out.
I can get my bingo card out. Richard, please speak directly into the phone.
Hang on a second.
There you are.
Does that make any sense now?
A little bit better. Go ahead.
You're saying he's going to have his face on the moon.
Yeah, I don't know what you're doing with your phone, Richard, but like every other word, it sounds like you're talking through a sock.
Okay, let me just look at it. I've used this phone for about 10 years. I've yet to work out how it actually works.
Right.
So let me look at all the buttons.
Well, the phones don't come with instructions anymore, do they? Unhelpfully, they say, please go online to find out the instructions for using your phone. But your phone is the thing that you go online with. There's a hole in my bucket, dear Liza.
We have bundled your instruction manual with the phone. Just access it from the phone screen.
Yeah. Simply take a photograph of this QR code. You don't know what a QR code is? Well, simply look online. Oh, no, that's right, you can't.
Have you seen them in restaurants now?
Yeah, I won't do that.
No menus.
No, I'm not doing that.
No, I just ended up having to go to the bar and say, look, I just want a hamburger and some fries and a beer.
Yes.
I don't care how much I have to pay.
And I just want to get on with my life. No, I did that once. Do you remember the Invisible Menace?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well, when the Invisible Menace was about, and we were momentarily allowed out by, I think it was probably the Eat Out to Help Out thing with Fishy Sunak.
This government.
Yeah. That government. And it said, a wait person came over to the table and said, oh, no, I can't take your order. You got to use the QR code. I don't know whether they said it like that. I really can't remember, but that's the voice I'm going to give them. And I said, well, can I just, have two pints? Oh, no, we can't do that. You want to use the QR code? So I looked at the QR code and I took a picture of it. And then it said, do you agree to the terms and conditions? And for the first time in my life, I read the terms and conditions. And it included, we have the ability to look through all of your contacts on your phone. So everybody's number that I've got, I'm giving it to whoever the hell ran that pub. Furthermore, we want access to your camera and all of the pictures you've ever taken. So presumably that meant that the camera would be available for them to access any time they liked. And just think about the first thing that you do in the morning while you're staring at your phone. Exactly.
And your liver? I bet you they've got first dibs on your liver, whether you're using it or not.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
But getting back to Trump.
Right.
He's going to have his picture on the money.
Yeah, done that, yeah.
Right, you know, he's got his signature on the money.
Mm-hmm.
You've got that one already.
Signature. I didn't have signature on his money. His face is going to be on the money. So
no,
he's got
the new $1 bill.
I know. Yeah, he's going to have his signature on it. Yeah.
Has he talked about what the present is from Iran? The big, beautiful present that Iran's given him?
Well, Iran gave... The big, beautiful present was, I think, 10 imaginary boats full of oil that Iran gave him during his dreams. And Iran said, no, he didn't. So I think that's the present.
It wasn't a giant wooden horse that they put just outside Mar-a-Lago, was it?
Well, somebody should think about doing something like that, yeah.
And finally, I don't know why he's got a beef with Bruce Springsteen.
Because Bruce Springsteen has been very mean to him.
Well, how does... you remember Manfred Mann?
Yeah.
And, I mean, they had two great hits, both covers.
Blinded by the Light. And
Blinded by the Light.
What was the other one?
I can't remember. I thought you'd know.
No, Manfred Mann's Earth Band. All I know about Manfred Mann's Earth Band is Blinded by the Light.
And the long version.
Repped up on and the lyrics are absolutely incomprehensible. And do sound very, very rude if you cock an ear to them in the wrong frame of mind.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
Mama always told me not to look into the eye of the sun, but Mama, that's where the fun is.
That's not one of the lyrics of that song, is it?
That is one of the lyrics of the song. You listen to the full track, and there's a psychedelic bit in the middle, and that's the big... written by...
Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce Springsteen?
Yeah, that's right.
So, I mean, I know nothing about Bruce Springsteen. I know that Born in the USA is not an anthem, it's a protest song.
Exactly.
That's as much as I know.
And he that was the wrong choice to make that song sound as bombastic and patriotic as it is. Because, or maybe it's entirely deliberate, and that's exactly why he did it, in order to subtly insert the message into the minds of people that might not have appreciated such a thing. But I don't think they got it. I mean, in fact, I know they didn't, because MAGA hat wearers continue to use that song as though it's something that Donald Trump would
actually be proud of. Irony is dead. I mean, can you imagine at CPAC, the great sort of Heil Trump conventions that they have. I can fully imagine them singing out 1, 2, 3, what are we waiting for?
What are we fighting for? I don't give a damn. The next stop is Tehran.
Yeah. I can imagine, open up the pearly gates, ain't no time to wonder why. Whoopee,
we're all gonna die. Yes.
Rock and roll! I can imagine them singing that.
They'd
love it.
If the DJ can find it in amongst all those Village People records, then they should put it on straight away. Gotta go, Richard. Thanks for that. 0345 6060 973 LBC.
This is LBC.
Go all Irish to France with great low prices. With Irish Ferries, you can for less. Irish Ferries, see you travel differently. T's and C's apply.
McDonald's cards are here. 24 cards to find and free food in every pack. Enter cards in a McDonald's app and complete sets with over £4 million in cash prizes to be won. McDonald's cards. 18 plus UK only with selected meals subject to availability. Ends 27th of April. App may be required. See mcdrules.co.uk.
You are not an egg. You should not be put in a box. But when it comes to retirement advice, that's how some people get treated. Put in a one-size-fits-all box. Not at Fisher Investments UK. We work with you to create a personalised retirement plan. Fisher Investments UK. Retirement advice that's as individual as you are. Learn more at fisherinvestments.co.uk. Investing involves the risk of loss. Fisher Investments UK is regulated by the UK Financial Conduct Authority.
Leading Britain's conversation. Nick Abbott. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
It blows my mind, Nick. It really it does my nut in.
Yeah, my nut is being done in an awl. An awl as well. Dave says, so bombing universities and power stations compatible, so is, is bombing universities and power stations compatible with ceasefire negotiations? I'm struggling to see it myself, but Sir Donald won the FIFA Peace Prize and chairs the Board of Peace, so perhaps he knows better. The Board of Peace. He got Board of Peace and now he's doing war instead. Matt says, I was considering who could be cast in a movie if your show was ever turned into a Hollywood film. I'm thinking John Lithgow for you. Well, that would be great. I think John Lithgow put in the funniest performance in a sitcom in history. Even better than Phil Silvers. There, I've said it. Third Rock from the Sun. John Lithgow, that'd be terrific. The lovely Sandra Bullock for Laura. Christopher Walken for the Welsh... the Welsh Druid, and if we can bring her back by artificial intelligence, Patricia Rutledge for Jan. Speaking of which, hello, Jan.
Hello, Nick.
That's coincidental, ain't it?
Very.
It is entirely coincidental, by the way, because I didn't know where that was going, and I had you on the board up next. How bizarre.
I'm not sure I want Patricia Routledge to be playing me.
Well, then you have the final decision on that score, Jan.
Right.
This is
how
the second,
are you anyway?
I'm great, mate. This is the second time this weird sort of conjunction of the planets all aligning, has happened to me in the last couple of days. Because I was listening to a piece of music on the radio and I thought, who's the guy? And I don't know why, but it flitted across my mind. Drummers who sing, who are like the main singer in a band. I was driving along and I thought, drummers who sing, well, there's Phil Collins, of course. And then I started to run, oh, the guy in the Eagles. And I was thinking, what's the guy's name? The guy in the Eagles, the drummer that sings in the Eagles. And I thought, and then the next song on the radio was by Don Henley, the drummer in the Eagles who does the singing.
Was it that lovely song, Boys of Summer?
No.
Oh.
I couldn't believe it. I looked down at the at my phone, which was receiving this this broadcast, and there it was. I thought, what's the guy's name? What's the guy's name? Oh, yeah, there it is. And his song was next on the radio. How bizarre is that?
Isn't it? Very strange.
Yeah.
Right. Two things.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a lovely program the other night about bees. Did you see it?
Oh, no, I want to see that. Yeah.
Well, you can do it. It's still on the iPlayer.
Is it? Okay.
Mm.
The bees. Yes, apparently it was excellent.
It was. This chap, Martin, I can't pronounce his second name.
Right.
He's a wildlife filmmaker, and during lockdown, he decided to film bees in his own garden.
That must be very hard.
It was really good. And
because how do you follow them? How do you follow them?
Pardon?
How do you follow them?
Well, he had all this fancy equipment, so he had, you know, all the slow motion cameras and what have you.
Yeah.
And he sat there, you know, staring at these bees with his camera.
Mm.
It was really good. And he filmed more than 60 different kinds of bees during the spring and summer.
I didn't know there were 60 different types.
Well,
I thought it was the one type or two, like big, really big ones, and then the smaller ones.
There's more than that. There's loads.
Huh.
And some build their nests underground, some in holes in wood.
What, like the Iranians?
And one, the red-tailed mason bee, she builds her nest in an empty snail shell.
Huh.
And then builds a wigwam of dried grass over it.
Well, that's...
How about that?
That is incredible.
It is.
Them's is some smart bees, eh?
Yeah, they are. And then he said, I'm quoting him here, I've written it down.
Hmm.
He said they pollinate the fabric of life and they're declining all over the world.
Yeah, that's right. We'll miss them when they're gone.
We really do need to start taking more notice of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that is so true, isn't it?
It's the truth of all insects. Bees, wasps, don't flap at wasps because, you know, they pollinate too.
Exactly. So, you take a look at it on the iPlayer.
I absolutely will do that.
It's called My Garden of 1,000 Bees.
Right.
Mm.
Very good, yes.
Have you written that down?
I don't need to write it down. I'm going to email myself the word bees and then I'll remember it.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, my second point.
Point two.
Last week you said that if people send you chocolate, you can't eat it.
No.
Why?
Specifically, I can eat it, but only if it comes directly from either the manufacturer or the retailer.
Right. Why is that?
Well, you don't want to eat something that some stranger has sent you directly from themselves, because, you know, crazy people.
Right. Well, I sent you some chocolate.
Did you? What was it?
Eh?
Well, last year.
What was it? Yeah.
Oh, right.
What was it?
I don't know. What was it?
It was, No, I'm not going to tell you. But
well, if it was from you,
took it in the bin, like.
Well, if it was from you personally, then I probably will have, you know, I will have enjoyed it at my leisure. But ordinary crazy people send me stuff, and I can't possibly put that in my mouth. No way, Jose.
Mm. What a funny world we live in, don't we?
That's right. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, if a complete stranger gave you some, like a chocolate treat, you've never met them before.
Mm.
And they just stopped you in the street and said, here, put that in your mouth, would you? No.
Well, I don't know. It depends how hungry I was, I suppose.
No.
Warning, warning.
Don't do it, Jan. Just say no. Just say no, thank you. Good manners don't cost nothing, do they?
Be polite.
No. But if it was sent from the manufacturer, you wouldn't know who it was from.
No, they can always put in a little note, can't they? When you're buying it from a retailer, then they can, they always give you the option to put a little note in there. Or you just send it anonymously, that's all right.
I don't know. Anyway, the thought was there, whether you chuck it in the bin or not.
Right. Well, thank you for the thought.
That's quite all right.
If not the chocolate.
Mm, that's all right.
All right. Okay, thanks a lot, Jan. Giving me a lot of homework there. Got to go and see a show about bees. Well, I'm looking forward to that. The way that they film nature has changed really dramatically since drones, hasn't it? And I think that there will be a point at which drones will be miniaturized to such a point that they can sort of fly with the insects and lock onto them and fly with them. Because that's the one thing that we haven't really, I mean, unless this bees show managed to do that, but I doubt it. That's the one thing that nature photographers haven't been able to do, is to follow bees, or birds, in fact. Every now and again you'll see a film of somebody who has trained birds to fly with them in a, like a gyrocopter or something like that, or fly alongside a boat, you know, for a fishy treat. But not actually flying with them and seeing what they actually do. But it can't be too far away that they'll be able to do that, you know, what with artificial intelligence.
Affirmative.
You know, get that cranked up and working properly. 0345 6060 973. You can text 84850. Email nick@lbc.co.uk. If you're on WhatsApp, it's the same number as the phone, 0345 6060 973. By the way, if you find that your eyes are drooping, and you just can't take it anymore, you've got to go to sleep, then you should be aware that the Friday and Saturday night shows get put up the internet as podcasts. We take the news and most of the ads out. And it's called Nick Abbott, The Whole Show Podcast. It's exclusive to Global Player and the new LBC app, both of which are free from your app store. And the thing to ask for is Nick Abbott, The Whole Show Podcast. It's 11:30 on LBC, the news headlines with Tim Daly.
President Trump has claimed many of Iran's military leaders have been killed during what he's called a massive strike on Tehran. He shared a video online saying the dead had been leading the Islamic Republic's forces poorly and unwisely. A man and a woman have been arrested after the death of a teenage boy following a road collision in Bedfordshire. It happened in Flitwick late on Friday and involved a car, a bike and a scooter. And the government says more than 12 million people will see their pensions rise from Monday. Their payments will rise by 4.8% or £575 because of the triple lock. LBC weather, wet and windy across northern, central and eastern areas overnight because of Storm Dave. Snow for parts of northwest Scotland with a low of around 4 degrees.
Weekdays from 7 a.m.
This is a shameful, this is a shambles.
Straight to the point.
How was that allowed to happen?
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Show some evidence, Minister.
Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app. Download it now from your app store. LBC.
All right, we've got Simon on the line. Simon, young people, they're just all a bit lazy, aren't they?
What are you
saying? Welcome to McDonald's.
Can I get the 6 minutes, please?
Of course.
Some say young people are work shy, but at McDonald's, we hired 47,000 of them last year.
Very much. So, how's your
night? Like George here, who keeps things running during a Friday rush. Resilience. Making it happen at McDonald's.
At EDF, we don't just encourage you to use less electricity, we actually reward you for it. That's why, when you use less during peak times on weekdays, we give you free electricity on Sundays. How you use it is up to you. EDF. Change is in our power. Households who reduce their weekday peak electricity usage by 50% can earn up to 16 hours of free electricity per week, subject to fair usage. For all T's and C's, visit edfenergy.com/r-power.
It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep on going under.
Get that Toyota electric feeling with the all-new, all-electric Toyota Urban Cruiser. Available with 0% APR representative and £1,500 deposit contribution. And save £1,500 with the Toyota electrified saving. Visit your nearest Toyota centre.
Price from $299.95. Available on Toyota PCP when financed through Toyota Financial Services by 30th of June 2026. Optional final payment. Indemnities may be required. See website conditions apply.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott.
You're joking.
0345 6060 973. Valerie says, I know you like John Lithgow. Have you seen him reading his Trumpty Dumpty poems? No, I never heard of that. They are brilliant. I saw him on Instagram, but you can probably find it elsewhere, says Valerie. Well, I'll look for that. And Jim says, Nick, before Artemis 2 astronauts get back, why don't we all get into Planet of the Apes costumes as a prank? That's a good idea, Jim. You maniacs, you blew it up. Damn you all to hell. That. Bodmin. Hello, Malcolm. Malcolm? Too late. Let's have Andover. Mike. Am I doing it right?
Hello, Nick.
Ah, there you are.
Hello, Nick. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, a couple of things. I'm just looking on the internet, having done all my homework, I'm just looking on the internet, and I have found an absolutely wonderful site.
Oh,
It's called I Am Kate, and it's a private individual has put up where all the electricity comes from, all the power comes from, and how much it costs, and where it goes, and everything else. It's absolutely brilliant. At the moment, a megawatt hour is £7. Now, I want to know where I can buy a megawatt hour. Do you get them in Tesco's? I don't know.
Yeah, you have to provide your own bag, though.
Oh, right. Another thing, though, because I've got... I need to own up. I've got Farage derangement syndrome.
Oh, yeah.
I've noticed on this website that France is sending us their electricity. Now, I want Farage to go over there. They're sending this stuff. They come over here with all their gigawatts. Mm-hmm. And I want the Farage to go and stop them sending their gigawatts to us. We don't need it.
No, I'm surprised that French electricity works in our equipment.
It does. It's the same voltage. Anyway, I think Dave is doing a wonderful thing tonight. Dave is supplying, at the moment, 73% of our electricity. He's just not working. He's not working hard enough. He could do a bit more, but 73% of our electricity, that's going quite well. And there's a good article. There's a really good advertisement for renewable energy. You know, it's the solar's not doing so much though. He's not doing anything at all actually.
Well,
solar.
No, because it's night. Yeah. Wind is producing 72.8% of our power at this moment.
That is correct. Yeah. How do you know that?
Because I'm looking at the national grid. You can see how much we're getting from each different type of power source at any given time of the day. And we're getting zero from solar, as you would expect, 72.8 from wind, 2.2 from hydroelectric, and the rest is pretty much nuclear. That's about it, ain't it?
But those gigawatts are still coming over from France.
Yeah, well, we want to give them a hiding and send them back to where they came from. Definitely.
Well, I think Farage should get involved in that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, OK, I'll pass that message on. Thanks a lot, Mike. Dave says, why are you making me listen to your radio show? I want GB News, but you're on my radio. I'm not changing the channel for you, so start talking about what I want. I think that's in reference to some message I got last night. Somebody was very displeased that I was talking about something that they didn't want to hear. And so instead of going and doing something more constructive with their lives, they sent a letter of complaint to someone they didn't know about something they hadn't paid for and for which they are not being forced to listen. Or to which. Steve says, Bruce is living free in Trump's head. And then three thumbs-up emojis, which doesn't really make sense. Stop communicating with cartoons, kids. The internet is making you stupid. All that smart internet stuff is unsmarting you.
Correct.
Yes, that is a word. Bo, hello, Gabriel.
Oh, evening, Nick. How are you?
Good, thanks.
I'm just on that National Grid page, and I'd like to inform you that wind has just crept up 0.1% on gas.
Wow.
So they're increasing.
You know who knows a lot about wind?
I know a lot about wind.
Your husband knows a lot about wind, Malaria.
I don't care.
She's not that bothered. She's separate rooms in a separate wing of a separate building in different states.
Absolutely. a few points. Last night, I wanted to mention, it's a bit of an old story, but since we were talking about Pete Kegspress, did you see the report that last month he banned photojournalists from his conferences because of unflattering angles? Well,
yes.
Which side?
I know.
Also, who styles him? Because his blazer is built for someone, like, I don't know, two or three sizes smaller than him.
Smaller.
I think he just wants to showcase the minute amount of muscle.
Well, have you seen him try and do pull-ups? God, that was absolutely hilarious. He did this macho man thing where he, I don't know whether he was challenging somebody to do pull-ups and push-ups and so on, but there's a man who can't do a pull-up. Not even one. Not one more for the core. Not even one.
No, not at all. And there's a picture of him with his shirt off recently. He looks like the most phony patriot ever with, like, I don't know, like six crosses on his chest.
Yeah.
The American flag with a AK-47 attached to it.
He looks like he should be in prison. And if everything goes well, will be shortly.
Absolutely. Well, you were talking briefly about, what was it, snooker in black and white.
Oh, yeah. I'm not imagining that. That did happen. They used to have snooker in black and white.
Well, my girlfriend just informed me that her granny Betty would watch snooker in black and white, but she was also deaf. She was just watching the TV with balls flying around. She didn't know what the break was.
Yeah, just various shades of grey balls flying around.
A couple more things. You were talking about the moon landing. He had a caller earlier on saying that he had a granddad or something that worked in Pinewood Studios.
Yeah.
He was dead certain that the moon landing was fake because of the imagery. Well,
right.
A lot of people say that it was fake because they couldn't see the stars in the pictures.
Right.
But as a photographer, I can kind of explain the technicalities of why you wouldn't see stars in the pictures. It's because the exposure of stars is so minute compared to the light that is lighting the astronauts on in those pictures.
Yeah.
The technicalities of the camera just wouldn't pick up the star exposure as well as the astronauts.
Right.
But the human eye can, because the human eye has a larger dynamic range of light compared to a camera. So, yeah, hopefully I can nip that one in the bud for a few people, hopefully.
Yeah, but there's 86 other reasons why they didn't land on the moon that you haven't addressed for those very people. Yeah, so I think you're wasting your time there.
Yeah, I think so. You were. Here's another thing. You know about the fuel crisis that is going to happen.
Yeah.
It's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Are we in this British exceptionalism mindset that a fuel crisis just won't affect us because we are British?
I think that people are going around thinking that it's not going to affect us because it hasn't yet. And they won't react until it does. And it will in about a month. I mean, it's already happening in places like Sri Lanka and the Philippines and China. All of those places have had their last shipment. I think we have shipments that are still making their way to us that are going to land here over the course of the next few weeks, maybe a month. After which, then we're going to feel the pain because there's not a sufficient amount of oil in the world to meet demand. So then what?
Well, exactly. And this is just screaming COVID again, where, you know, it was rife in Italy, but don't worry, it won't affect us.
Yeah, exactly.
Are we going to be? I predict that in 6 months' time, we're going to be one of the worst affected countries in the world because
that's what they say.
So dependent.
Yeah, we're very, very dependent on it. Yeah.
Well,
and it goes back to Margaret Blummin' Thatcher. Who gave all of our power away.
One more thing, you were talking about Norway, but I'm going to come in from a different angle. And you were mentioning about sports that you've never crossed the road to watch, right?
Unless they had the Olympic rings appended to them.
Well, get this. Me and my girlfriend Beth, we were on a walk in Norway in January, and we stumbled across a ski slope jump competition.
Oh, wow.
And we were, I mean, she sat across me and her eyes just lit up. We were mesmerised by it for ages.
Yeah.
It was like flying, like, what, like 80 metres?
I mean, it's pretty impressive on television. I mean, I have been in the presence of one of those ski jumps, an old one that had not been used in a long time, in the Black Forest in Bavaria.
Yeah.
But I've never seen one actually being used, but I bet it's absolutely stunning.
I mean, it was incredible, and, like, we had the perfect view where we were just off to the side, so you could really get the scale of just how far.
Yeah.
I mean, these are, like, teenagers, and they were doing... I mean, you know why the Norwegians and that are so good at this stuff. It's because they're just practicing from such a young age. It was incredible to watch.
How do you start doing that, though? Because there is no working up to it. You'd fly off the end for the very first time, and then you've got to deal with it in midair. I don't get how you would begin to do that sport. Yeah,
like, what do you get? Like, doubled up with someone, like you do in skydiving? Does someone kind of do you get like double length skis where you have someone behind you?
Skis made for two. No.
Running no. your way
those
through.
Those are bicycles. Yeah.
And one more thing. Oh, have I got time? One more thing.
And finally.
You mentioned about not being able to sleep with the radio on last night.
Yeah, no. I can't sleep with the radio on. I can't work with the radio on. I have to have silence for both activities.
I'm going to dub my mum in it. She might even be listening right now. So sorry, mum. But, like, she, ever since I was a kid, she could listen to the radio, like, even yourself or other LBC presenters, at 3 o'clock in the morning. And she is conked out. But me, in my little childhood bedroom 20 years ago, could hear the radio and it would wake me up.
Nightmare.
But she would blitz her way through it.
Hey, incredible. Gabriel's mum. Wake up. Time to turn the radio off.
Thank you, Nick.
All right, thanks a lot, Gabriel. 0345-6060-973. Text 84850. Email nick@lbc.co.uk. If you are on WhatsApp, it's the same number as the phone, 0345-6060-973. COVID was mentioned just a little moment ago, and I'm going through those old COVID shows, and it is remarkable. It's like it happened to somebody else. To be clear, I'm going through them because I do a best of podcast, and so I'm going through some old shows, picking out the best bits. It's called The Nick Abbott Habit. Comes out twice a week now, doubling your pleasure. Comes out on Mondays and Wednesdays in extended form. I think you'll love it. So if you haven't checked it out yet, then I would hope that you would be interested in doing just that. The Nick Abbott Habit. Ask for it on an internet near you.
This is LBC. You want your car in good hands. With expertise, Halfords will keep it moving this spring with ease. You want your annual service ticked off. That's great. And in store, we'll fit batteries while you wait. You're never far from a garage or store for fitting, fixing, checks and more. You want mobile experts to fit tyres on your drive while you relax and take five to keep moving forwards with none of the fuss. You want Halfords, the name you can trust. Full T's and C's and exclusions apply. See Halfords.com for details.
Turn up your taste buds with Dolmio Intensify pasta sauces. From mild creamy garlic and black pepper to bold smoky garlic and sun-dried tomato.
Whoa!
And spicy smoked paprika and chili.
Woo!
Try Dolmio Intensify. Pasta sauces with serious flavour. Dolmio, yeah.
It's happened again. All you said was barrel leg. Now she's looking at you like Nadine isn't your real name. Look at you go as you explain volume cocoon is a key shape for the season. 100% cotton, you say? No way, she says. And then, oh, a little extension of the trouser leg. Check out that pleat. Then you break the news. They're from Primark. Only £16. Be a good friend. You can borrow them. Hopefully she'll forget that. Shockingly chic for £16. That's so Primark. Available in-store and on click and collect.
Find me somebody to love.
At Dreams until Tuesday. The more you spend, the more you save. With up to £500 off. Dreams. Love your bed.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott.
Would you mind telling me what this is all about?
Yeah, honestly, dear, I've got no idea. Two uses of the word dear in the same sentence. Spelt different, never mind. Paul says, we have thousands and thousands of people on social media thinking the Earth is flat and the video footage from the rocket to the moon is artificial intelligence. I'm becoming convinced that humans are done. Well, welcome to the club, Paul. Catherine says, I can't remember his name, but one of the American talk show hosts referred to Trump as their supreme misleader, which I thought was amusingly accurate, says Catherine. Yeah, it's okay. It's not that great. It's not getting on the list. The supreme misleader. Well, maybe. I'll think about it. One of the American talk show hosts. Well, it could have been any of them, really. I mean, off the top of my head, I can think of at least a dozen who've got daily shows at night in America, all competing for more or less the same audience and all earning billions of dollars. The money you can make on American TV, it is huge. But we've tried doing that over here, and we just can't manage it. There's so many people who have tried that daily talk show thing in this country, and it's just always failed. Partly because, as I keep saying, they don't hire enough people to write the funny. But apparently this Saturday Night Live in this country, they have done exactly that. And it's kind of paid off. I hope it really succeeds, because we really need something like that. Something, I mean, it's such a period that is rich for comedic, like political material, that we either need Spinning Image to come back with some proper, with a proper writing team, or something like that, something like a Saturday Night Live to work. And, you know, the first couple of episodes, they were like it's the same sort of hit rate as the American version, about 50-50, more or less. So I wish them the best of luck, as opposed to everybody else in show business, which who I get the feeling want them to fail badly. Really weird. Let's see now. Tooting. Hello, Jan.
Yeah, hi, Nick. Hi. I've been busy researching a point that I wanted to make yesterday.
Oh,
but,
no.
No. This is really exciting because it's not yet out in the open about this new space competition between America and Russia and China in partnership to build a nuclear plant on the moon.
Yeah.
By 2033 and 2035, so that astronauts and that can stay on the moon, and there'll be space travel. It will be easier. Because it will allow long term. It'll allow astronauts to be able to operate on stations on the moon and that.
Yeah.
But this, the other one, the other exciting bit. So I mean, it's not money going down the drain, because it's not going to go, well, look ahead. This is what's it. Space has never been a political place. And the hardened political lines that can be seen from Earth are clearly visible
No, they can't.
In relation
the
to
hard political lines on Earth can be visible from the moon. No, they can't.
No, wait a minute. Space has never been a political place.
Apolitical.
Apolitical, yeah. And the hardened... anyway, what can we see? It'll carry on in space. Like, for instance, the competition. No one's ever challenged America's lead.
Yeah.
Unparalleled dominance in the field, right?
If you say so. But,
no,
but they will as soon as somebody manages to make a permanent presence on the moon, then on this planet we are going to be killing each other for dominance on our satellites.
But listen, Nick, it's not only just the moon; it's Mars.
Right.
Look, what this Russian and Chinese space alliance is, what it's going to speed up the exploration
Mars. That's great. I don't care. I couldn't care less. Let's fix the problems on Earth before we go and try to fix the problems on Mars.
But yes, I agree with you, but right. At the same time, it's not going to stop what Russia and China intend, and what America wants to do to stop them having dominance in outer space, because then they can control the defense shield.
Yes, yes. And we're all about getting the riches that come from oil on this planet now. The declining wealth from the oil. Oil and gas and all of the rest of it. But that pales as nothing compared to what they can find on either the moon or Mars, I'm certain. Trillions and trillions of dollars of highly expensive... They'll have gold and diamonds, probably, and all sort of critical minerals that for technologies that we don't that we haven't even invented yet. And we'll be killing each other in vast amounts in order to get our hands on that.
Nick, isn't that exciting?
No. No, it isn't. No, not at all.
But it's not going to stop. Look, they've already got plans to build a nuclear plant on
the
moon.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. Well, we'll be lucky to live that long.
No, we will. I mean, no, it's to power. It's so that they can have permanent stations on the moon.
Right. Okay.
And
well,
leading to Mars.
I'll see you at the at that bar on the moon, Jan, whether it has any atmosphere or not. All right, got to go. But thanks for that. Thanks for the update, mate. Done research. West Kilbride. Hello, Douglas.
Oh, hello.
Douglas.
Yes, I'm just wondering, do you know how many men have actually walked on the moon?
4.
No, a bit more than that.
8 billion.
No, 12. Do you know how many of them are still alive?
And one.
Is it one?
No, you were right with the first answer. 4.
4.
Are still alive.
Right.
And all of them are 90 years of age or over.
90 years old. Yeah.
I remember watching the various moon landings.
Really? I don't remember it at all. I mean, I've seen it, of course, but I can't ascribe that memory to it first happening. I think I just saw it later.
Yeah, well, I'm about 14 and a half years older than you, so I do remember seeing them.
Yeah.
In my 80th year now, and heaven help us if I actually make it to 80. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
I think that the coverage, one of the reasons that people say, oh, it never happened, was that the pictures are so bad. But I think the pictures are, I only heard this once, so I don't know whether it is true or not, but I heard that. The pictures are bad because the feed that we got was a TV camera pointing at a monitor. So we didn't get a direct feed. We got a TV camera pointing at a TV screen.
Given the age of it, that doesn't surprise me in the least, because I think that's how they did them all in those days.
So that does, that, if that's true, then that would clear up that whole why does everything look so bad issue. Yeah,
exactly.
All right. Okay, good talking to you, Douglas. Thanks for that. 0345-6060-973. Karen says, Nick, did you see that Trump has made Vance's fraud czar? That's right. Yeah, his fraud czar. Yeah, that's right. And Tiger Woods has been made head of road safety. Yeah. This text says, how come Oxford and Cambridge always get to the final? I don't know, but somebody should look into that very strongly and with great strength. Robin in the New Forest says, recent discussions on your show about renaming the Strait of Hormuz the Bent of Trump is rumoured to have reached the White House. Apparently it's causing a panic that Iran might insist on this name change as part of any ceasefire agreement. Malaria would probably not care. No, I know she won't. She's got a jacket that says exactly that on the back. I don't care, do you? What an absolutely horrible family, like all of them. How did they become the most powerful family in the world? Probably the world's worst family. I mean, it's not just him, it's all of them. What a way to run a planet, eh?
Dreadful.
Let's have Belsized Park. Oh, no, wait, not you. I'll come to you in a minute, Judy, but this guy's been waiting much longer. Tiago, Bristol.
Oh, hi, Nick. Thanks for having me on.
Tiago.
Have you heard about the Barbie Dreamfest fiasco?
The what now?
Well, last night you mentioned several times, like in relation to the face fillers and also someone's face, Pam Bundy. That made me think of the event in Fort Lauderdale. There was very much the, remember the whole Wonka experience in Edinburgh? There was a massive letdown.
Oh, yeah. The Willy Wonka experience in Edinburgh. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Just a week gone, we had very much the same thing in Florida, but this time Barbie was the attraction.
Right.
Wow, fair enough. It's not of interest. We can move on.
I don't really know what you're talking about. It's kind of distracting because every other word gets chopped in half by whatever phone it is that you're using, or the probably more accurately, the reception in Bristol.
Is it any better now?
No, that's actually worse.
Oh, I can call you back.
Yeah, okay, call me back. Terrible. Shocking. I mean, when are they going to invent a phone that can be used as a phone? I know the kids aren't interested in using a phone as a phone. In fact, just the very idea of it scares them. Don't call anybody under the age of 30 without telling them that you're going to call them first. Otherwise, you'll get a strong reaction. You have to make an appointment to call somebody now. That's how ridiculous it's got. I mean, you know, humans are defined by the way in which we communicate with each other, through our mouth holes. But no one does that anymore. Just waggling our fingers at each other. And we couldn't wait not to talk to each other. As soon as something came along, we started to use it more than actually, communicating with our mouths. Couldn't wait to stop doing that. Because the whole texting thing, which is why it started, that was just an add-on. The people who invented it didn't think, well, why would anybody use this? We're putting it on a phone. I mean, we've got the extra capability, so we might as well put it on. But no one's going to use that. No one's going to use texts. They're going to use the phone to talk to each other. No, that's the last thing that anybody does with a phone now. How weird. I mean, we have developed to the point at which we can send a rocket around the moon, or at least that's what it looks like. We can pretend to send a rocket around the moon because of our ability to communicate using our mouths. But no one wants to do that anymore. And as soon as the option came to not do that, you might as well have sewn our mouths. If they weren't dual purpose and we eat with them, then, you know, before too long, the development of the human race would have sealed them shut. Like that scene in The Matrix. Which pill would you like, red or blue? Just take them both, see what happens. 0345 6060973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC. I know Kung Fu.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at midnight. Kuwait says its air defences are intercepting hostile missile and drone attacks tonight as tension in the Middle East continues escalating over the war in Iran. Donald Trump has issued a new ultimatum to Tehran. On Saturday, he warned it had 48 hours to either reach a peace deal or reopen the Strait of Hormuz. In response, Tehran warned Washington the Gulf region will become hell for the US. The military analyst Philip Ingram has been talking to LBC.
You know, I think Donald Trump will be focused on trying to get as much of the regime and the IRGC destroyed within the next 3 or 4 weeks, because politically that's where his real pressure is going to come.
Syria has closed a border crossing with Lebanon after an evacuation order was issued by the Israeli military. It's planning airstrikes after claiming the route has been used by the Iranian-backed group Hezbollah for military activity. Several people have been injured in the US after a car struck crowds during a celebration for the Buddhist New Year. It happened in Louisiana and a driver has been arrested. The Home Office is claiming it's had a record year for breaking up county lines gangs. It says more than 2,500 drug supply lines were closed during 2025. More now from LBC's Jonathan Ray.
These figures cover the whole of 2025 and also show almost 1,000 knives were seized during a year of operations against organised crime. The Home Office says they also resulted in more than 1,600 gang leaders being charged. County lines gangs have been actively targeted by the government since 2019. And the new figures are now at their highest for 6 years. On Tuesday, the government will announce its plan to halve knife crime within a decade.
The Pope has urged people not to feel numbed by the conflicts around the globe during an Easter vigil. He's also encouraged them to work for peace, although he didn't mention any specific wars. NASA says its Orion spacecraft is in very good condition as it continues heading towards the moon. The crew of the Artemis 2 is now more than halfway. It will orbit the lunar surface before returning to Earth. One of the astronauts on board is Christina Cook.
Well, we might go look at the far side of the moon and take in its awesomeness and then go, maybe I should change my socks.
And in sport, Arsenal are out of the FA Cup following a 2-1 loss to the championship side Southampton. They were knocked out in the 85th minute of their quarter-final match at St Mary's. LBC weather, wet and windy across northern, central and eastern areas overnight, brought about by Storm Dave. There'll be snow in parts of northwestern Scotland and a low of 4 degrees. From Global's newsroom. For LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
Oh dear.
Well, let's get back to it.
And by it, I mean Tiago in Bristol. Yes, Tiago?
Oh, hi, Nick. Thanks for putting you back on the end of the queue.
Much better.
Thank you so much for having me back. So I just thought yesterday Barbie was mentioned a couple of times, and it surprised me that this quite, you know, big headline about the fiasco didn't make it to the show.
I have never heard of it before, and I'm looking at a story of it right now. Barbie's Dreamfest, more like a nightmare warehouse event, attendees say. They were promised a larger-than-life interactive Barbie Dreamhouse, an 80s-themed roller skating party, and a glittery pink day in Barbie Land. Instead, fans of the world's most popular doll, who trekked to the Barbie Dream Fest in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, from all over the world, were met with a cardboard cutout of the idyllic house and a tiny kids-only roller rink, a far cry from what was advertised on Instagram. Yeah, there's pictures of it. It looks absolutely awful. Poor kids. Oh, they're expecting so much.
I mean, I'm not the one for disappointing children, but the fact that full grown people have fallen for it, just, you know, I try not to judge.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, do your research, you know, but make sure that if you're spending almost £500 for a ticket,
wow,
that someone can actually deliver. $5 actually.
Really? Blimey.
What it made me think of...
And don't believe anything on Instagram at all, ever.
Never, ever. What it made me think of is how, you know, nostalgia became such a big currency. You know, this whole, you know, event experiential things. And it made me think of reform, because that's very much what they're doing, right? They promise everyone a nostalgic world with a full nine yards.
Right.
And then when you arrive there, it is just a grey, empty warehouse. Cut out.
Yeah.
I think the only issue, of course, is people are so engrossed on that idea. They don't ask for a refund. They stick around playing on a ball pit for kids.
Well, you think, when do they want to go back to? Because they don't like the present, and they're all about, it's so much better in the past, you know, when bombs were falling out of the sky and we had ration books for food. You know, the good old days.
Exactly. No, I love a spam sandwich. Yum, yum, yum.
Spam sandwich. Yeah. No, I'd rather not. Thanks for the offer, but it's a no from me.
No.
Absolutely.
I can't believe you don't miss post-war rationing, Nick. I thought you were a true nostalgic.
Yeah, well, yeah, I ain't that old.
I wasn't implying that.
Yeah.
All right, so talking about, you know, food, I guess. Bananas had a lot of airtime yesterday, and every time they're mentioned, they do get a lot of airtime. So it made me think that perhaps is your favorite fruit?
No.
No, well, I mean, what is it?
It's barely even a fruit. It's more like, I don't know what it is. I mean, it is a fruit, I'm aware of that, but it's not like any other fruit, is it? It's a particular thing all of its own.
Well, there's a thing, like, we have manipulated the banana to a quite extreme. And
no one's manipulated my bananas, I can assure you of that.
Well, that has happened a long time ago in Panama. There was this whole thing about, you know, there was one dominant strain of banana which got decimated by a particular fungi.
Hmm.
And the Cavendish banana, that's the one we have now, which has been its replacement. But bananas used to have seeds, which they no longer have. And it means that every banana tree that exists now is very much a clone or the original ones that were introduced to defy that plague.
Huh.
But as any monoculture goes, he always has a blind spot, and they've been in denial for decades, but there's the fungi has adapted, and now is, of course, threatening all the banana crops across the whole of the world. And they can no longer pretend that the Cavendish banana, you know, has much time left, because they can't defeat this fungus.
Huh.
And every single banana tree for a commercial export of bananas is very much like the same. So they don't have any sort of who would have thought that you know, cloning a plant would result from that.
Yes, yeah, eliminating all other types of a particular plant and only having one. Yeah, who would have thought that that might bring up a problem? Huh.
But that's the thing, you know, like, you know, I know I keep going on about being from Brazil, but I can't help but mention that, you know, in the Brazilian market, you can easily find about 12 to 15 different varieties of commercially available bananas. They are very varied. There are some tiny little ones that might taste a little bit like apple. There's some of them that are more starchy, used for cooking, like the plantains.
Right.
And there's been many attempts to introduce different varieties of banana to the global north, but it seems like people are too emotionally attached to the taste of the Cavendish, so it never really took off.
Hmm.
And they're trying, but we'll see what happens. You know, I guess eventually, if all the Cavendishes are gone, people might give, you know, different bananas a go.
Yeah, give something else a go. Why not?
And if we're still on the banana topic, I had a Greek flatmate, and she's in her 40s. We have lived together for 4 years, and once she was telling me a story that her grandmother, who's English, used to bring bananas from the UK to Greece as a treat for Christmas. And I was like, what kind of Dickensian world are you living, where people give like mandarins?
Yeah.
and I couldn't believe it. But, you know, like, she had no reason to lie. So then I looked it up, and it turns out that in Greece, from roughly the late 70s all the way to 1988, because Greece was trying to protect the production of local fruits, they had a ban on bananas. So the whole of Greece spent over a decade without access to it, which made it like a treat to the point that people...
So they banned something that they don't make in order to protect the local version of it, but there is no local version of it.
Well, not necessarily local version, but to force people to consume other fruits because bananas were cheap in
Greece. Right. But there's nothing like a banana, though. I mean, that's how this conversation started. I'll go back to what I was saying at the beginning. It's not like anything else. Like an apple is sort of like kind of like a grape and a bit like an orange, but a banana is something completely different. It's all on its, it's of itself.
Well, it wasn't necessarily a matter of providing a replacement. It was just saying, you're not going to have it.
Right.
Because otherwise,
well,
that seems
particularly mean. And what would they do with how would they construct a Knickerbocker Glory, for instance?
Well, I guess they weren't. No banana splits for them either. No banoffee. I mean, no wonder they end up so stagnant, you know, economically. No
right.
bananas to fuel their breakfast.
That whole Knickerbocker Glory issue really stymied their economy for a considerable period of time. Huh. A very interesting tale there, Tiago. Appreciate that. 0345-6060-973. They're just fine in the fridge, by the way. They start to go off, get a bunch of them that's too big to eat all at once, which is always the way. I mean, I don't know why I keep doing this. I should just buy like four tops, but I don't. I buy like eight. Every blooming time I go to the supermarket, I buy way too many bananas, and they just sit there, and they're green one day and they're off the next. What's that about? Somebody should look into that very strongly. But they're just fine in the fridge. You put them before they go off in the fridge, and the skin might turn a bit black, but inside is so yummy. Tastes a bit like a banana. Phil in St. Albans says, Bruce is only 3 years younger than Trump, which is almost impossible to believe when you compare them side by side. Bruce is a legend. Trump is a chump. Bruce will still be doing three-hour marathon shows long after Trump has left this mortal coil. Go, Bruce!
Rock and roll!
Yeah. All right, let's have... Bodmin, Malcolm.
Hi, Nick.
Oh, God, it's you.
Yeah.
Are you in a better mood today?
Look, you say, oh, God, it's you, right?
But yes.
I understand your frustration when you speak to me because I always raise points that you really do not like, Nick, right?
Right. Already, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well,
you sound dyspeptic.
Nick, do I need to speak slower?
Yeah, okay, or maybe to somebody else. Jim in Hassock says, Nick, do you remember the pop group The Marmalade? Pretty run-of-the-mill 60s pop, but they did make one exceptional single entitled Reflections. I won't ask you to listen to it because I know you won't, but just a little knowledge is a wonderful thing, even if you can't hear it, says Jim. The Marmalade? No, I never heard of them. I've heard of Lady Marmalade, but not a band called The Marmalade. Not to my knowledge, anyway. They had a hit called Reflections. You remember that?
No.
No, me neither. But I have a story about Marmalade. I'll give you that in a brief moment. Can you wait that long? Camden. Hello, Claire.
Hi, Nick.
Claire.
I'd like to say something about the so-called democracy in the so-called America.
Okay. Go ahead.
There has never been any democracy in those lands.
In America?
In what is called America now.
Yeah, so-called America.
Democracy, rule or power of the people, the first settlers gathered down the first Thanksgiving meal, which the original people prepared for them.
Yeah.
And then they proceeded to exterminate their hosts.
Right.
Those mm-hmm. who managed to remain alive were squeezed in the smallest reservations, so-called reservations.
Mm-hmm. In so-called America,
like in a zoo. And
not really like in a zoo, but anyway, go on.
Where they are extremely generously being supplied with alcohol, copious amounts of alcohol, mm-hmm. almost for free, and probably other drugs as well.
Native Americans are being provided with alcohol for free. I'm not sure that's true.
Almost.
Well, what does that mean, almost? They get a discount.
Very cheap. Extremely cheap.
From where do they get cheap booze?
They're sending them booze in order to make them finish with themselves more quickly.
Yeah, I doubt that that's actually happening. No, as you describe it. I'm not questioning whether that they have had a pretty rough time from the interlopers who came in and then planted a flag and said, this is all ours now.
Yeah. So after that, the settlers pulled an enormous trampoline over the whole thing.
A trampoline?
Figuratively said.
Oh, a figurative trampoline, yeah.
Yeah, and said, we are here, we are the best, mm-hmm. there has nothing been anything else before that, so yes. we are the rulers.
History starts here, yeah.
Yeah, but where is the demos? They were the rulers. Where was the demos?
Demos?
5-6 feet under.
What's a demos?
Demos means people.
Does
in
it?
Greek, yeah.
Oh, where were the people? Were you speaking Greek to me now?
No, I'm translating what democracy means.
Oh, thank you. But why are you telling me all this, Claire, apart from to bring this show to a crashing halt?
Because there has never been any democracy because lack of demos.
Right.
The demos were 6 feet under, and the others who survived were in the reservations.
Yeah, under the table. Yeah.
Booze.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, thanks for history lesson? The update, mate. Thanks a lot, Claire, for, whatever that was. 0345 6060 973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC.
This is LBC.
Sandy!
Where's London calling?
Yep, off on a bike tour. Got 2-for-1 with SWR rewards.
Ooh. I'm seeing that immersive exhibition everyone's chirping about.
Great taste! One might say impeccable.
Make every trip a treat with SWR rewards and get hundreds of deals on shows, meals and more. With fares frozen until 2027, there's no better time to travel. Southwestern Railway. Spread your wings. T's and C's apply.
Ready for a thrill? Or two? Or three? At Bicester Village, incredible savings, brands and services are just the beginning. Shop with up to 40% off every day. Find new flavours and enjoy the calm and charm of the village. The thrill of discovery awaits. Bicester Village. What will you find?
From the big transformations to the small home improvements, you can feel as proud as a peacock with Wix.
Last.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
This is absolute tosh.
Let's have a call in Belsize Park. Judy, Judy, Judy.
Hello. I phoned about the petrol prices getting apparently astronomical. I don't drive, yeah. But also I don't have a mobile phone. I'm the
what?
Last person on this planet with no mobile phone.
Blimey.
And I manage very well. And I sit on the tube and I'm the only person sitting in the carriage. They're all sat there clicking away.
Yeah.
And I sit there happily looking round at people.
Like we used to do, yes.
And also, apparently, if you're out with your mobile phone, you can be traced.
Everywhere you go. It knows where you went. It knows how fast you were going when you were going there. It knows who you met with when you went there. It knows what you ate. It knows the restaurant in which you met. It knows what method of travel you went on to get back home. And it knows how fast you were going when you did that.
Well, do you wonder that I don't have a mobile phone?
But why would anybody want any of that information, though?
Well, who knows?
Well, exactly. Yeah, you're exactly right. Who knows about what might happen in the future and what a future government might decide that they suddenly don't like. And then they just scroll back through all of the information that they have on all of us and say, uh-huh, gotcha.
Well, I mean, it would have been inconceivable, maybe, before Trump appeared on the scene, but now we've seen who they elect as President of America.
Right.
Who knows what could happen here anyway? That's not why I phoned.
Exactly right. Yes, giving up your information now when we have a benign government is one thing. But what might happen in the future? Well, you've got absolutely no idea. It might have, some sort of phony patriot wearing Union Jack socks who is not acting in the interest of this country and decides that you are an enemy of the people, Judy.
Well, that's also why I get thrown out of the polling booths when I go to vote, because I object to the fact that they can trace how we vote.
Yeah, can they, though?
Yes, because, oh, God, this is not why I phoned. Every time I phone you, I don't talk anyway.
Yeah.
When they give you your ballot paper...
Yeah, I think that you told me about this before, and I have forgotten to check when I go.
It's torn out of a book.
Yeah.
Consecutively, they have numbers on the back, like a raffle ticket.
Mm.
And the nice person sitting beside the person that hands you that leans across and gives the number from that, and they write it down against your electoral roll number.
Right.
And therefore, not this government, maybe, but a future government think that Trump is president could check how we all voted.
Well, the thing is, they know how you're going to vote because they all... Well, not you, Judy.
No,
because,
they don't.
Well, not you, Judy, because you don't have a mobile phone. But they have enough data points on everybody that is of interest to them to determine exactly how they're going to vote, whether they're going to vote, what time of day they're going to be voting. They know absolutely everything about you, everything. And they've amassed all of the information that is just all the massive amount that you give on your phone just by walking around with it. I mean, it's got a microphone and a camera. Do you think that if they really didn't, if they really wanted to, that they couldn't access both of those things? They absolutely can. The technology exists. They also know what you eat. They know how much you drink.
Oh my God.
What television programs you watch. They know they know everything you bought pretty much since you got a credit card. They know more about you than you know about you, Judy.
No, I do have a credit card.
Right.
But I don't have a mobile phone, and I do have a row in the polling station.
Do you have a supermarket loyalty card?
No.
Really?
No.
Wow, that's just you then.
Yes.
You're off the grid, Judy.
Yes.
Which in itself is very suspicious.
Yeah, but you can't prove it.
Yeah, but well, I don't think they need to prove it. A suspicion is sufficient. You are going to jail.
Have you got time to hear why I phoned?
Go on then.
It's a stupid idea, I suppose, but people are complaining about petrol and the prices.
Yeah.
Is it not possible to have a solar panel on the top of all the cars, buses, vans, and all of that?
Well, they could retrofit them, I suppose, and they might be able to make your aircon go when you're standing still with the engine off. I don't really know. But we are desperate for some sort of technological breakthrough that solar panels become efficient, because at the moment they just aren't. We should, with the lightest bit of light in the sky, be able to make a car go. Now, that is almost certainly in our future. We haven't got there yet, but as soon as we can become independent of the fossil fuel giants and all of the geopolitical mess that goes along with being dependent on those unstable countries, then we really will have freedom. And that scares the people who run the fossil fuel industry more than anything else in the whole wide world, our freedom.
But if solar panels work at all, like on roofs of buildings and things, why not put them on cars?
I think some cars actually do have them. I think.
Do they?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, like fancy, like top-end fancy cars for exactly that. They can run the aircon when the engine is off, stuff like that.
The roof of a car has got a solar panel on it.
I believe that some cars do, yeah.
Well, I think do some homework and check?
I certainly will do. Nothing of the sort, Judy, but thanks for asking.
Oh.
I think Rolls-Royce do that, don't they? But you think you've got to spend a lot of money.
I haven't got a Rolls-Royce.
I mean, you haven't got anything, Judy. I don't know how you survive.
I survive perfectly well,
just
thank you.
Fine, yeah.
I even use cash quite a lot of time as
what,
well.
What, money?
Money.
No one uses that anymore.
I do.
Oh, well, yeah, good. Keep that up. I mean, there's a story, one of the scare stories that's coming out of America is that, and this has happened already, that America can turn off your ability to buy stuff. There's two companies in the world that do almost something like 98% of the credit card transactions on Earth, and the American president can and has instructed them to turn off the any country's ability to pay by credit card. And because nobody leaves the house with money anymore, I mean, I can't remember the last time I left the house with money. Who uses money now? We beep and go for everything.
I go to the bank and I say to them, can I have some of my money, please? And they give it to me.
With your mouth?
Yes.
Oh, Julia, over at your place, it must be like living in the 1970s.
I can't help it. I'm very old. And stupid.
Well, you're going to be if Armageddon, you're going to be the only one that survives. It will be you, cockroaches, and Keith Richards.
Oh, my God.
That's something to look forward to. Be you and Keith forever.
I don't particularly like him.
Don't you? Well, you'll get to know him.
I don't know him, to be fair.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll rub along just fine. All right. I'm sorry to break the news to you there, Judy, but, you know, that's a fact. Thanks a lot, Judy. Yeah, they can do that. They did it to Russia. The two giant credit card companies, they turned off, I mean, don't take my word for it, but I seem to remember that this is exactly what happened. When Russia invaded Ukraine, they turned off Russia's ability to buy. Now, it's very specific. It was something like Russian people's ability to buy foreign goods, or it was Russian people's ability to buy goods in their own country. I can't remember. It's one of the two. But if they do that, they can turn us all off. And, dyspeptic Donnie, he gets out of bed grumpy one morning, and he can instruct them to do just that, turn our credit cards off. And then we, never mind about Iran, we will be back to the Stone Age. I mean, most shops don't even take money. Even if you had it, they wouldn't take it off you. When was the last time you went to a pub and you paid in cash? They'd look at it and go, I don't want that. I mean, they'd have to add it up in their heads for a start, wouldn't they? Two pints. One pint is beyond them. They've got to punch that in the till, and the till tells them how much it is. No, that's it's kind of scary. And to the point that I believe that there are moves afoot to make our own British credit card. A British credit card with which we can buy British things, damn it. Like, things we make in this country that we can buy with a British credit card, like, I've got no idea. Not a clue. Anthony in Dublin says, there's three flights worth of people sat here in Gatwick Airport lulling around for our return to Dublin. They should have given this storm a stronger name than just Dave, in my opinion. Storm Daniels would be better. That way, Trump would have shut this down very strongly and with great strength. He knows everything about wind after all. Yeah, I'm aware that Storm Dave was causing disruption, but not around where I live, not really. It was a little bit breezy, but it wasn't anything to be concerned about. Matthew says, have you ever been so embarrassed by an old friend you have upended geopolitical status quo and destroyed history's most formidable alliance? No, no, Matthew, not yet, no. I've never been that embarrassed by an old friend that I've upended the geopolitical status quo. No, I haven't. Maybe that's just me. 0345-6060-973, Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10, Nick Abbott, LBC. It's 12:30, the news headlines with Tim Daly.
Kuwait is saying its air defences are intercepting hostile missile and drone attacks tonight as tension in the Middle East continues escalating over the Iran war. Donald Trump's issued a new 48-hour ultimatum to Tehran. Several people have been injured in the US after a car struck crowds during a celebration for the Buddhist New Year. It happened in Louisiana and a driver has been arrested. And NASA is saying its Orion spacecraft is in very good condition as it continues heading towards the moon. The crew of the Artemis 2 is now more than halfway. It will orbit the lunar surface before returning to Earth. LBC weather, wet and windy across northern, central and eastern areas overnight because of Storm Dave. There'll be snow in parts of northwestern Scotland and a low of a typical 4 degrees.
LBC.
Right then, who's all in for Cancer Research UK's Race for Life?
Anglers, ramblers,
climbers, five-a-siders,
surfers, gamers, bikers, hang gliders,
book lovers. Let's go all in against cancer, all in to help fund life-saving research.
Join your local event. Sign up now and save 50% off entry. Visit raceforlife.org. Discount ends 19th of April 2026. T's and C's apply.
The Easter event at Bicester Village is on from the 20th of March to the 6th of April. Shop, savor, repeat with up to 50% off the original retail price at Monica Vinader, UGG and more. On select lines and brands, T's and C's apply. See bistervillage.com. Bicester Village. What will you find?
From the big transformations to the small home improvements, you can feel as proud as a peacock with Wix.
Risk. Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Right, so what are we doing?
We're doing a radio show, Given. Keep up. Valerie says, I used to have a hen in my garden that laid double yokers a few times a week. Wow. That is amazing. How did it do that then? Maybe it had a trick bottom. Let's have Witham. Hello, Alex.
Hi, Nick. How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
So, given it's Easter, I thought I'd talk about Captain Crook and what's going on with his obsession with heaven.
Oh, yeah.
So, he's been insistent for the last few months now, especially late last year, that he wouldn't get into heaven.
Yes. I'm very suspicious about that, because I saw him say that on the plane, and he was, like, laughing, and... but. Not his usual laugh. It was a kind of an uncomfortable laugh. And he was thinking at that moment the thing that he had done that would prevent him from getting into heaven. I want to know what that was.
Are you referring to a certain someone?
I don't know. Are you talking about a certain someone?
Are you still talking about Jeffrey Epstein?
But he said a month ago, he impeded that he doubts he'll get into heaven.
Yeah.
And now, since then, you've got all these freaks in the Oval Office lathering their hands on him and talking in tongues.
Yeah. So bizarre.
So it feels like he's trying to flatter and bribe his way into heaven.
Yes. Yeah.
And I just wonder what on earth he thinks he would do there. And there are no casinos for him to bankrupt in heaven.
I mean,
he's
not going to meet any of his friends or his acquaintances or the people that he's, you know, hung out with in heaven. He's not going to know anybody there.
There's no Jeffrey Epstein in heaven.
I very much doubt that. Yeah, exactly.
And he'll get thrown out immediately when he tries to grope an angel.
Well, I don't know whether that's possible or not, but somebody should be on high alert for exactly that scenario.
They should.
Yeah. All right. Thanks a lot, Alex. On that subject, Steve says, if Trump thought God was an ally, he'd probably be slagging him off by now. Yeah, that's right. And this text says, does that mean that Donald Trump has done more for religion than the Dalai Lama and Mahatma Gandhi? He's done more for religion than God.
You know, nobody has done more for Christianity. Nobody has done more for religion of all type than me.
A religion of all types than him. That's what he said. That's not artificial intelligence. I didn't chop that up from something else that he said and made him sound stupid. He actually said that. No one has done more for religion of all types than him. No one. Southampton. Hello, Simon.
Nick.
Simon.
I've got 5 points, very quick ones.
All right.
Got one for the bingo, card.
Go on.
You'll only know if you know. So do you remember a film in the 90s called The Lawnmower Man about a simpleton that accumulated all the power in the world and went rogue?
No.
Ah, well, there's a film from the 90s called Lawnmower Man. It's about a simpleton in America that acquired all the power in the world and went rogue. The end of the film, he said if he succeeds, he's going to make every telephone in the world ring. So, on that basis, the lawnmower tan.
Right, no.
But it would only work if you're familiar with the film.
Yeah. No, and that doesn't go on the bingo card list, because the bingo card list
of
are
course.
Things that he's going to do. Yeah, that's on the rude name list, which is a different one entirely. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But
I
it's,
get that.
It's still a no.
No.
That's fine. Right, now, a prediction. Pam Bondi, she's got a deposition coming up in Congress under oath.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if she will actually get there.
They could put her straight in prison and she'll bounce out like a rubber ball. Trump will pardon her instantly.
I'm wondering if she's going to send out one of these emails that other people have done so far, including Marjorie Trader Brown, to say that she's not suicidal, and if anybody happens to find her, then there's foul play afoot.
Right.
I don't think she's going to make it to there, right? So that's my prediction. See if I'm right or wrong.
Okay.
Right. I will believe that Trump is of God, sent by God, right? If when they go around the moon, we find his word stamped upon it.
What?
The word... If they go round the dark side of the moon, and they find the word Trump, and as in a Hollywood sign.
Right.
Look out the window and see down, it says Trump.
Yes. Only under those circumstances will you believe that he has been sent by God to save us.
Yep,
right.
Yep. Two more quick things.
Yeah.
The moon buggy, I believe it's still up there. That was solar powered. That's got a solar power panel on it.
Right.
Now, on a more serious note, right, are you aware that they've cut the internet off in Russia?
No. Cut the internet off?
Yeah, they've cut the internet off in Russia, and the only social media that you will be allowed to go on is what's called Max, which is the Kremlin's very own social media site, which is run and monitored by the FSB.
Yeah.
So everyone's up in arms because they've already started losing access. They're sort of winding it down and everyone's moaning because they're losing access. They have actually come out now with an advert. I've seen it. They've actually got an advert now, which I'm assuming is being broadcast on TV, instructing people of all the wonders of using a rotary phone.
Wow.
And you've got a woman there instructing all the young people, you put your finger in here and you spin it round to the number you want and let it go, and after you've dialed the right amount of numbers, you get to speak to your friend. And it's being broadcast as if it's something fantastic.
Well, I bet you can hear the people that you're talking to coming through clear as a bell.
Exactly.
So there is that.
At least they'll be on a landline.
Yeah. All right, well, good news. I mean, bad news. But good to hear it. Thanks a lot, Simon. Cheers. Ta-da. Hey, there is no dark side of the moon, by the way.
Rock and roll!
When Russian authorities blocked popular gaming platform Roblox last year for what they said justifies terrorism and LGBTQ content, young people quickly found a workaround. Everyone at school has a VPN, one teenager told the Moscow Times, speaking on condition of anonymity. Well, you've just you've been speaking to the Moscow Times. I think anonymity is out the window.
Warning.
But, so they've tried to shut it down, all of those major platforms, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and such like. But the kids found a workaround, and they're using VPNs, which is a virtual private network, I think that's what it's called. And now they're going after the VPNs as well. Russia targets VPNs in escalating internet crackdown. They're cracking down. Yeah, that is the indication that you are under a very popular leader when they have to keep cracking down. Yeah, there's so many people in the world that are having a miserable time because of one daft apath after another. I mean, if we could just rid the world of, let's say, six daft apaths, then it would be a better place, wouldn't it? Let's make a list. Swansea, Maz.
Greetings, Nick.
Maz.
Yeah, the comment about so-called solar panels.
Yeah.
I've been reading a bit recently about alternative energy. Now, firstly, the modern panels are not actually solar, they're photovoltaic, which means they react to light, so will function in much lower light levels.
What, like an old calculator?
Something like that, yeah.
Because an old calculator can run off a lamp.
Yeah, but the modern panels on the roofs, providing they're positioned accurately and have the appropriate storage for the energy that's generated...
Yeah, that's the key.
...are very efficient.
Right.
Now, your problem with applying them to vehicles is you need a powerful enough panel set up, which means huge batteries...
Yeah, but this is what I mean about efficient. Not efficient yet. It should be as thin as a coat of paint, and the battery that you store the power in should be as large as a mobile phone. I mean, that is not... I mean, we've taken a computer that used to fill a large room, and we've boiled it down to the size of a phone that you can put in your pocket. So everything that I'm saying is entirely possible. It's just that we've got to wait a while scientists get their act together.
Yeah, but you've also got to consider your mountings for the panel. Because these panels are actually fixed. Now,
again, you're getting bogged down with the technology that we have now. I'm saying that it should be like a coat of paint. It should be indistinguishable from the top of an ordinary car. Just like on your roof, panels are ancient technology. It should be embedded in the tiles themselves, so that you can't see this ugly thing on top of your house.
Yeah, but the tiles are still fixed. You, ideally, you need to be able to move the thing around.
Why?
Which you won't be able to do on a car.
Now, why would you want to move it around?
To follow the path of optimum light sources.
Nah, you don't.
Because
really
if you're in a wooded area,
yeah,
the trees and the tree line is going to obstruct it.
Right, again, but I'm back to the efficiency part, because in a wooded area, an enormous amount of plants grow in shade. They barely see the sun at all.
Yeah, but you still need light, some light to get the panel to go.
Yeah. But you're tripping over your own argument now, Maz. You're in your mind, you're agreeing with me, but you still want to keep up the argument.
Now,
yes.
I know someone who uses panels on a caravan.
Right.
Now, what they've done is they've got a super powerful panel and two little knotty ones on top of the roof. Now, the ones on top of the roof are fixed, but he's mounted the super one on a metal frame, which is chained to the tow hitch.
Right. So everything that you're describing sounds like ancient technology to me. We shouldn't have any of that. It should be just like a coat of paint on the top of a car or a house.
It's in here, but I don't see that's going to happen.
Of course it's going to happen. We just need to close our eyes and click our heels together and wish for it. Of course it's going to happen. It has to happen. Because we have to get ourselves off fossil fuel. That is the absolute most important thing that the human race can do. And it ain't got nothing to do with net zero, and it's got nothing to do with pollution or any of that stuff. We just have to get ourselves out of being dependent on these unstable countries. And they're unstable specifically because they have this massive wealth underneath their feet. Because greedy people won't let them, won't let it just lie there. So, it has to happen, because, that is the direction in which we're all travelling. I mean, battery technology has got unbelievably better, but it's still not quite there yet. But, you know, every day and every way, it's getting better and better. I mean, the Chinese battery companies, since this war started, there's about three massive Chinese battery companies. And I think their stock has gone up by 20% in the month since Donald Trump started this insane excursion. So, you know, they're going to be... And what China does, which we don't in this country, is reinvest the profits. In this country, we give executives massive bonuses for excellence in showing up to work, and we pour the rest of the money that any company makes down their shareholders' pockets. And nothing gets reinvested. That's the British malaise, that is. But China's not like that. Every penny goes back into the project, which is making them the number one economy in the world, which they will be pretty quick. Betcha. 0345 6060 973, Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10, Nick Abbott, LBC.
Coming up at 1 on LBC, Clive Bull.
Do you back the latest calls to cut the money spent on the royals? Should pensions be rising by almost 5% tomorrow? And would you like to take a trip to the moon?
Clive Bull at 1. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
It's the most wonderful time.
Booking Hero. On the beach does way more than beach holidays. We now offer millions of combinations of beach holidays, city breaks and cruises. So whether you fancy swimming, sightseeing or sitting on the top deck of a ship, we've got you covered. So stop booking around and whatever your next holiday looks like, get searching at onthebeach.co.uk.
Abta and Atoll protected.
On the beach.
It's hard to concentrate when you can't shake a health worry. It can feel like there's a wall between you and the rest of the world. Like you can't be fully present.
Hello, AXA Health. How can I help?
If something's playing on your mind, AXA Health support line nurses and counselors are ready to listen day or night. For cover that cares, search AXA Health Insurance. 24/7 health support line available to all members. Treatment for pre-existing conditions is not covered.
At Pets in a Pickle, we know your furry friends get up to all kinds of mischief. Like when the dog scuffed that entire chocolate cake. Or the time the cat tested his 9 lives from the curtain rail. Again. That's why we're here when it matters most, with fuss-free pet insurance policies, including unlimited video call access with First Vet. For pet insurance policies as unique as they are, visit petsinapickle.co.uk.
From the big transformations to the small home improvements, you can feel as proud as a peacock with Wix.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
We are running late. I have a royal family update. These are all headlines about the royal family, mostly Meghan. You know, Meghan.
Boo!
All in the same paper on the same day. I may not have met Meghan, but I have witnessed how her actions have harmed the royal family. This is why I'll never stop criticising the woman who caused our beloved queen so much distress. What really happened when Meghan demanded to borrow the Queen's diamond tiara and the monarch's scathing response? Truth revealed about chaos before the Sussexes' wedding. Has Kate's former assistant fallen under Meghan's spell? Meghan's Suits co-star Patrick J. Adams says her eye rolls were a constant on set before revealing why he didn't receive an as-ever gift package. Meghan Markle shows off her complicated floral arrangement in new promo for £191 as-ever tea box. Scandal strikes Meghan Markle's $3,000 Australian Girls Weekend. Sussex squad lieutenant who said the unspeakable about cancer-stricken Kate is hand-picked for retreat. And then, revealed inside Andrew's moss-ridden second-hand caravan where he enjoys sitting in his Sandringham back garden. No wonder Andrew loves his second-hand caravan. How a mobile home can be surprisingly palatial. From £17 million Swiss chalet to a plastic caravan, Andrew Mountbatten-Windsor thinks his new caravan is hilarious. And on the other hand, Duchess of Edinburgh compared to down-to-earth Princess Anne for graciously accepting flowers from royal fan who waited outside a restaurant for her in the rain. I don't know who the Duchess of Edinburgh is, but isn't she an absolute dream? Oh. Finchley, Suresh.
Yes, hello. I want to say something about the solar panel thing. A few years ago, I was in New Delhi, where somebody had invented a solar panel which fit on top of a rickshaw. You know what the rickshaw is, the three-wheeler thing, what they call the tuk-tuk in Thailand. Yes, and that was enough to power the tuk-tuk. Now,
I thought the tuk-tuk was powered by a bloke running in.
No, ran ahead of it.
The
tuk-tuks are running a bloke power on a cycle.
Okay.
But then most of the things are motorbikes now. But if you extrapolate that from that to a car, you would have to have a huge thing on top of.
Yes, again, efficiency.
It is now.
In a short period of time, I'm sure every car will come with it as standard.
Hopefully, yeah. yes. But I'm talking about now. Right now, it is impossible.
Right. Okay, well, you know, everything is impossible now until somebody invents it to make it possible.
Sure.
Yes. It's coming, Suresh.
Yes, I know.
Be prepared.
Hopefully.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot, mate. Stefan Stockport says, I'm worried about you. Trump seems to have reduced you to a gibbering Commissioner Dreyfus from the Pink Panther. He's done it to me too. I've got a nervous tic and waver between helpless laughter and tears. Maybe we should start a support group. Yeah, let me think about that for a moment.
No.
Didn't even take a moment. Tom in Southsea says, what I don't understand about the past 50 years regarding going to the moon is that they're using the same shape rocket and the same fuel type as 50-odd years ago. Seeing as everything else in technology has advanced so much over that time period, how come NASA hasn't changed? Also, the headline regarding the toilet mishap was Close Encounters of the Turd Kind. Oh. Well, some newspaper, if they didn't, then they should have done. Chris says, blimey, even in space it takes a woman to clean the toilet. Yeah.
Dreadful.
Isn't it awful? Stu says they're not technically capable of a moon landing, even though they did it in 1969 with the computing power of a calculator. Playing into conspiracy theorists' hands here, it certainly is. Yeah, I mean, if you think about it too long, then you're going to start thinking about Carol McGiffin.
Yeah.
Yeah, not about her, like her. I didn't mean about, I meant like.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah.
What else? Alex from Barnsley says, does anybody else find it hilarious, but chilling, when people correlate intelligence with somebody's financial wealth? The government should make university free and mandatory for all. Ooh, I don't know. The free part, yes. Mandatory, no. Then we wouldn't have to deal with such epic levels of ignorance, and we would be more resistant from oily charlatans. That's right.
I love the poorly educated.
Yeah, they keep giving and giving it, don't they, Donnie? And wealth has absolutely no relation to intelligence whatsoever.
I make $400 million a year, so what difference does it make?
Well, not specifically to each individual. I mean, you could probably draw some correlation of wealth to intelligence, yeah. I mean, but that just makes sense, don't it? I mean, you know, that goes without saying. So I'll do the marmalade thing. Never mind about the end of the world and all that. This is serious. Marmalade may soon have to be labelled as citrus marmalade thanks to Keir Starmer's Brexit reset.
No!
The government's planned food deal with the EU will require makers of fruit spreads and jams to implement a name change if it goes ahead. It is literally the worst thing that has happened to anyone. Under this deal, being thrashed out by Britain and Brussels, the UK will have to re-adopt EU rules in this area. The government has argued that the deal, part of the Prime Minister's bid to forge closer ties with the EU, will reduce prices in supermarkets by removing trade barriers. But we voted to increase trade barriers. Brexiters knew what they were voting for. As hundreds of them have told me at great volume for years on end. Trade barriers are what they wanted. And they got them. In large amounts.
Thank you.
And they also wanted things to be more expensive. And they wanted it to become more difficult to buy things from any European business. And they wanted all of those white Eastern European workers to be replaced with non-white workers from India. I bet these Brexiters are so happy with the result that they wake up laughing. No. No, they don't. They're still complaining. Hey, Brexiters, you won. Get over it.
Stop whining.
But now Skier is planning to take all that away. To take all of the benefits of Brexit, like, you know, the great things that we have now that we wouldn't have if we were still in the EU, like, no, I can't think of anything, and neither can you. If you can't think of a single benefit, apart from some old parroted nonsense about getting our sovereignty back, then you won't miss it when it's gone. You know, but this is serious. I know there's a war on, and we might all die soon, but when the blooming Europeans come over here and make us subtly change the name of our breakfast spread just a bit, then hold the front page because the usual suspect papers are going to have a patriotgasm. Proud Brits up and down the land will put down their cans of German beer to zip tie a jar of marmalade halfway up a lamppost. That'll teach them. But prepare yourself because this is serious. Manufacturers of marmalade may have to rename their fruity spread as citrus marmalade because of the blooming European Court of Human Rights, or something. This is because in a number of EU countries, the word marmalade and the word jam are used interchangeably to refer to spreads from a variety of fruits. And since May 2024, jars filled with orange or lemon marmalade have to be sold with the legal name citrus marmalade to avoid confusion. They could also be named orange marmalade or lemon marmalade. Which doesn't sound so different to what we've got now. I mean, if you're looking for marmalade, you don't want the main ingredient after sugar to be a mystery. If it's orange you're after, then you determine which one it is, usually by looking at the label. So in reality, there's going to be no difference at all. Only a newspaper that is trying to make its readers angry about anything related to the Labour government would have wasted so much space on writing this story of confected outrage. I'm quite surprised the headline didn't begin with the words, "Fury as." Fury as EU plots to keep our fruit spread jars the same as they are now. We are way off August, but I think the silly season is all year round now, like pears. There's no season for pears now. It's always autumn now. But that's just the newspapers doing their thing. They farm anger and fear. Those are the emotions that keep the tills running. But no politician would be silly enough to alight on this daft story. I mean, who would be so frivolous as to rise to this bait? Step forward, Tory MP Priti Patel, the shadow foreign secretary, who offered the opinion that it showed how Labour's EU reset was descending into farce. I see a farce, Priti Patel. It's when the shadow foreign secretary of a major political party feigns outrage about the label of a jar of marmalade during the most serious time in the history of the world since the Second World War. Priti Patel said, Keir Starmer is trying to take us into the EU by the back door, signing us up to heaps of rules and regulations that will disrupt British businesses. No! Your lot disrupted British businesses by getting Brexit done in the half-witted way that became your party's signature style.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
Ain't that right, Bodge?
I can't comment on that. I won't.
I'll be back tonight with my abnormal normal show. If you missed any of this super show, then you should be aware it gets stuck up the internet as a podcast almost as soon as it's over. Only on Global Player or the new LBC app, both of which are free from your app store. Ask for Nick Abbott, The Whole Show Podcast. And I'm going to get this next bit right. Coming up at 4 on LBC, it's James Hansen. But first, here's Clyde Ball.
Thank you very much, Nick. And coming up after the news, Rachel Reeves is facing calls to cut public spending on the royal family, with one former minister saying the royals look increasingly out of touch at a time of cost-of-living crisis. Sovereign grant is £130 million. It's estimated the total cost is nearer £500 million. Can that be justified? And over 12 million pensioners, meanwhile, will see their state pension rise by up to £575 per year from tomorrow. It's going up nearly 5%. Is that an important increase to the UK pension? And how would you fancy a trip to the moon? That and much more coming up after the news at 1, which is next on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 1 o'clock. A senior Israeli official says the country's preparing to attack Iran's energy facilities but is waiting for approval from the US. The comments have come after President Trump issued a 48-hour ultimatum to Tehran to make a deal on ending the war or reopen the Strait of Hormuz. He says all hell will rain down if it fails to act. Alex Vitanker is from the Middle East Institute in Washington, D.C. He's been telling LBC Iran is looking for an escape route.
They're saying they're going to stay in this war, but if you listen to what they're really saying and read between the lines, they are looking for a way out of this. The question is, because what they want is not a temporary ceasefire, they want something that's solid. What they're really worried about on the Iranian side is that this could happen to them again in 6 months' time or next year.
Tonight, Kuwait is saying fire has broken out around an oil complex following a drone strike. Earlier, the country's army said its air defences were intercepting attacks. The new Archbishop of Canterbury is due to use her first Easter sermon to call for peace in the Middle East with renewed urgency. Dame Sarah Mullally will pray for an end to the violence and destruction in the region during her sermon at Canterbury Cathedral later on today. LBC's Joe Hawkins has more.
The plea from the Archbishop will come as the US-Israeli war against Tehran enters its sixth week. Dame Sarah is expected to pray that everyone in the Middle East can get the peace, justice and freedom they long for. She will also tell the cathedral's congregation, "This week our gaze and our prayers have been turned towards the land where Jesus was crucified and raised from the dead." On top of that, Dame Sarah will pray for people dealing with personal struggles, ranging from unemployment to bereavement.
The government says more than 1,000 new ambulances have been introduced across England during the last year. Ministers hope they'll turn out to be more reliable, meaning they spend less time off the road. The Met Office says the worst of Storm Dave will pass across the UK during the course of Easter Sunday. An amber weather alert's been applied to parts of Northern England, Wales and Scotland. It will last until 3 o'clock this